Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
WKGC-FM, high atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida. Play it again.
You know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
No more blue Chicago.
And then it's nice to break out those old top 40 disc jockey chops. And
did you kiss the post or talk it up?
Becca, does kiss the post mean anything to you?
No.
Caleb, does kiss the post mean anything to you?
Becca looks scared. She's
no,
like, no.
I'm just disappointed in myself for not knowing.
Okay, so when you're playing music and you've got that music introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Before the vocals?
If you talk over the instrumental and stop talking right when the vocal hits,
you've kissed the post.
You've kissed the post.
I do that sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes that's all.
See, since we're broadcasting from the college, this is an educational proceeding.
So we can go home now.
Yeah, that's it. Our work here is done.
We've done our job. Yes.
Oh, we should introduce the assembled multitude.
Yes.
Back in Chicago, where we will be back next week, the keeper of the big plug.
Woohoo!
Bob Fukuda.
Hey, Bob.
Good evening.
Bob, did you sign in with a little nugget about the Chicago White Sox?
Yes, I did.
How many people were at their fourth win in a row?
Brett and I were talking about it. I think 28,000 today.
That, along with the Northern Lights, the end of the world.
Signs of the apocalypse.
That's
you know
right. Wow.
Whoa.
On the other side of the glass is Julian. And Julian has an amazing piece of video from last night, right, Julian?
Indeed.
And you went where to get the Northern Lights video?
I went all the way up to Woodstock, Illinois, to get a fantastic time lapse of last night's Aurora Borealis.
So did you just keep driving until you saw something in the sky, or you just figured Woodstock is away from the noise?
Kind of. So it was raining up until about midnight.
Ah.
And storming. And then around 12:30, 1 o'clock is when the clouds started to clear. So I found a little church along the side of the road, and I just did my thing with my cameras.
Now, I'm curious. The video, and this is on Julian's Facebook page, if you can, make it available on our Facebook page. But were you able to see what we see in the video with your naked eye? And I'm asking because we've heard from some people that said you couldn't see it as well with your naked eye as you could when you did kind of a time-lapse thing looking through your phone or camera.
Camera, yeah.
That is exactly right. My eyes couldn't see what my cameras were seeing.
Really? Now, did you use one of your fancy cameras, or did you use your cell phone?
No. Oh, gosh, no. My cell phone would have just, it would have been horrible.
Really? Because I've seen some pretty impressive video from cell phones, from iPhones and Androids.
Well, my iPhone's a potato, so.
That explains it.
That's the special Mac potato iPhone.
Well, it's a gorgeous piece of video, and I'd love to put it on our page because I feel like we missed the Super Bowl in the sky.
Yeah.
Because this morning I woke up to pictures of people around here that went, oh, yeah, we saw the Northern Lights here in Florida. And I thought, what? Oh, really?
And we're planning, when we leave, yes. We'll be driving home about 2:30, and we're going to take, there's a really, really, really dark road.
Scary road.
That is right out of a Stephen King novel.
Yes.
We're going to take that back. Home and hopefully arrive home and see if we can get any video. But that other voice you heard was Ron Brown. Ron, did you see any of the Northern Lights?
No, but I want to see Julian's potato iPhone is what I want to see. can you post that on Steve and Johnny's
yes.
Facebook page as well? That would be great.
It'll be baked.
How would he take a picture of it since he would be looking at his potato?
Oh, he's very creative.
Yes,
he is. No, I didn't see the Northern Lights, and probably won't see them tonight. But I'll look on the Facebook page and I'll see Julian's capturing of it.
Because do you get to see it at all
downtown?
No. Because there's too many
lights I would
downtown.
Think. Yeah.
What do they call that?
Light pollution
yeah. or light noise, whatever. You need to get away from that. And Woodstock would be a perfect place to get out of town.
Well, I saw some people post pictures of it over the lake.
Yeah. Really?
And if you go to Barry Butler's page.
Oh Barry wow. did it.
Yes, but he went to Michigan.
He was on the other side. He said he was on the other side of the lake, and he said he did an old school selfie where he set the timer, then ran in front of the camera and took
so you
the picture
see his,
that way.
His profile, yeah.
And if you're not hip to Barry Butler, you should be.
That's great.
It's Barry Butler on Twitter. And
On Facebook
and all over the place, and he has some wonderful pictures.
He is the photographer of the city. He makes the city look amazing on a regular basis. But he did say he went across the lake because he wanted to get away from the pollution, the light pollution. Mm-hmm. And, boy, his pictures are... In fact, I think a bunch of news crews grabbed him when he came back over to our side of the lake and said, tell us more about how you did that.
In the Florida studio, we have, let's start with Becca, and that's Becca Stark, who is behind the controls.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. So, no Northern Lights for you.
No. No.
I know, you feel as I do. I feel like it was the Super Bowl of the sky. I miss the eclipse, because it just wasn't that impressive in Chicago.
No,
I mean, it was. I had my glasses on. I stood out in the yard. It was just not that exciting. And then I slept through what happened here. I'm whining.
Also in the studio, the man who actually went up to the roof and took a look to see if you could see any Northern Lights, Tom Hoots, and you saw what?
How about nothing? Would that
okay?
I was really looking forward to coming in tonight and getting the show started, and then I was going to go chill out on the roof of this building because it's pretty dark out there, and I thought, what a great place to look for Northern Lights. Well, I can see some stars out there.
Yeah,
no clouds, perfectly clear, couple of stars, and that's it.
A couple of years ago, wasn't there something going on up on the roof here before Hurricane Michael where there were plantings or
like a
farm up
there? Do they still have that?
No, most of the plants are gone. They were native Florida plants that were supposed to kind of take care of themselves up there and help absorb energy, keep it from getting into the building. But Not a lot of that stuff stood up very well. I suspect they were, during Michael, they probably got close to 200-mile-an-hour winds on top of this building.
Yikes.
And everything was gone when I got back here.
Yeah.
Even this, we have solar arrays out there, and they were gone.
Oh, that's right.
They all had to be put back.
So after Tom came back in the studio and said, no, I didn't see anything, we wanted to vet that. So we sent Caleb Jordan, and Caleb's first question was, which way is north?
Yeah. We got water on all sides of us here. So
true.
It didn't help me, you know.
I like that honesty, though, because you looked at it like, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, stupid question. Which way is?
No, really, because see, in Chicago, we have it in our favor, because if you're looking to the east, you're looking at Lake Michigan. So,
which is why we got very confused years ago when we went up to Toronto. Toronto looks so much like Chicago, but the lake is on the wrong side of the city.
Yes. No.
So we got very confused.
Yes. We're easily confused.
Yes.
Though. But that is Caleb Jordan on the other end there. And gosh, that's it, right? I guess we can go home.
Till Gabe gets here.
That's right. We do have a big show tonight. We got so many things planned. We are going to talk about the latest scams. There's a scam a day, honestly.
And we're going to unveil the Better Business Bureau Scam Survival. Wait a minute.
Scam Survival Toolkit.
Yes.
That's how you have to say it.
I don't know if I'm worthy.
Scam Survival Toolkit.
That little later, we're going to talk with a dear friend, Lynn Orman, who is, she has so many titles, but she was down at the Blues Foundation Music Awards in Memphis, and she's going to share some behind-the-scenes stories, and a lot of her friends won, too.
Yes.
That was so cool.
They won big, big awards. I'm so thrilled for Bobby Rush in particular. If you all were listening a couple months ago, you met Bobby on our show. I am so happy for him because he won some big, big categories.
And Bobby, how old is Bobby?
92
or something. Yeah. And we'll play a little bit of Bobby later.
Whew.
You could not tell.
No.
Please let me be that active when I'm 92. Let me be that active now. Also, speaking of talented people, a little later, Aaron Burden.
Yes.
Bearden, rather, is going to make a return visit.
You're thinking Eric Burden of the Animals.
And nice save. Thank you. He's the owner of Instant Replay Sports. We're going to talk about sports cards and other collectibles. And Aaron is bringing his guitar, and he is a very talented human being. So
yes, he is.
Some cool music may break out.
And it's Patrick's night, so we talk tech, and there's some big, big technology news coming
boy,
up tonight.
Yeah, boy, is there.
Yep.
So, and that's just part of what we have going on for tonight.
I'm exhausted now.
Yeah, so we're going to take a nap while you listen to this on WGN.
Oh, mama.
Jay Thomas and Mama, and it is Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, not so subtle reminder, right?
Yeah.
In fact, off the air, Becca was talking about she thought she would get in the car after the show tonight, and she'd drive up to Alabama so she could look for the Northern Lights, and they said, oh, no. You're hours away from Mother's Day. You cannot do that.
Yes.
You might end up stranded in Alabama. And that scared you, too, didn't it?
Why are we snitching on me?
I'm sorry.
And you might wind up hearing a momism you didn't want to hear.
Yes, yes. All right. Yeah. Some momisms. Those are the words of wisdom that your mother laid on you.
Right.
And I come to the conclusion that maybe it's a Southern thing because my mom and my grandma are from the South. And I could have written a book because I spent about an hour today writing the things that they laid on me throughout my childhood. But before I get to my list, as we were walking into the building tonight, Tom Hoots, who's sitting here, saying, no, don't go to me. He said...
and you know, anytime you do that we're going to go to you.
He laid a little bit of wisdom on me from his mother. And that was what, Tom?
Well, I was just visiting my new grandson in South Florida. And the kids tend to be a little bit of helicopter parents. The moment the child cries, well, you've got to run over and pick it up and bounce it up and down and get stopped crying. Well, when we had my daughter, I asked my mom for some advice on it. And she said, well, my rule is if they're crying after 10 minutes, maybe something's wrong with them. You need to go check on them.
10 minutes! And look, you survived.
Well, I don't know if it was done with me or not, but certainly
It was.
So I suspect it was, too. But certainly my daughter survived, yes. It's all right.
And you're not from the South, either. Your family's from the East, right?
No, North. I mean, Mom's from Buffalo. So it's hard to get norther than that and still be in the States, I think.
Well, and along that line, my grandmother was from Pennsylvania. And I will never forget one of her mom-isms was, you don't want to eat the watermelon seeds. If you do, a watermelon will start growing in your stomach.
And they would say it with so much conviction, you believe it, right? Yeah. Okay, well, my mother's classic. The first thing that came to my mind was she would always say, because I said so. I would say, why? Because I said so. It was just such an easy way to rule the household. Because she even said to my dad, because I said so. It was just...
And it worked.
And it worked every time, yes. When I would give her the pouty look, one of my favorites was... I had to write these down because I got deep into thought today and I relived these moments. And I'm an only child. And my mother would say, careful, you'll trip on that lip. When I would pout. And then usually I would either burst into tears or I would start laughing. So it kind of worked, but not always. My favorite one, my mother did this. I don't know any other mother that's ever done this. And by the way, if you've got one that you want to share with us, 312-981-7200, you can text us. We'll sneak them in throughout the show tonight. My mother would look at me and she would say, I know you are fibbing because you have that white circle around your mouth. And I would say, what? What? Yes. Oh, it's getting whiter. Come on, fess up, fess up. Even if I wasn't lying, I would come up with something to make that white circle go away. And it was brilliant. That was great psychology.
Well, that's like, this isn't a momism, and I know we got to break for news. But my dad played the same trick on me. Every now and then, he would just say, and this is when I was a mini kid, he'd say, anything you want to tell me? And even if I didn't have it, it's like I felt I needed to make something up.
So think on that. We'll take a break right here on WGN.
Mama used to clean somebody else's house just to buy me a new pair of shoes. I never understood how Mama made it through the week when she never ever got a good night's sleep. Oh, she's one of a kind. You've got yours.
That doesn't get played often enough. That's the Intruders.
Yeah, and it was a hit.
I always loved my mom. That was a big hit for them.
There are not a whole lot of mama songs. There are a couple of good country songs. BJ and the Intruders are the first ones we always think of. Yeah. Just spending a few minutes talking about Mother's Day. And I've decided if your mother was Southern, there's a good chance that you were scarred by some great Southernisms. Becca shared with me that she has the inability to see things that are right in front of her, and her mother would often say to her, if it was a snake, it would have bit you. And invariably, it was something that was right in front of her. And Dave H. says, Dave from Oak Park says, my mom used to tell me and my sister that if we ate uncooked meat or raw cookie dough, we would get worms in our stomach. Not that it would make you sick, but you would get worms in your stomach.
And my grandmother was absolutely the opposite of that. In fact, there are moments that I'm amazed that I'm here talking to you. One of our Sunday morning treats used to be, as my grandmother was cooking bacon, she would tear off some of the meat strips and the bacon, and I would just...
eat it raw.
Eat some of the... And it tasted kind of like ham a little bit. But I'm here
look
to tell the tale, which
I'm
amazes
like,
me.
Yeah.
And to me, it was a real treat, but that's before we knew, no, that's going to kill you. Well, obviously, it didn't.
Well, it's
not
going to kill you, but it's not something you should do.
Yeah.
So, right, Caleb? You're shaking your head.
I mean, bacon's already cured.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now it is. Was it...
it probably... I think it was then, too. Oh, dear.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. Maybe this explains so much.
I may not make it through the show.
I don't want you to have a worm in your brain, too.
No, please no.
Okay. Now, I swear to you all, I'm telling you the truth. These are things that my mother, God bless her, told me and scarred me with these things. Are you ready for this one?
Okay.
Why buy the cow if the milk is free?
That's a good lesson right there.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're going out on a date, and her last words to you were not, what time are you going to be in, but remember, why buy the cow if the milk is free? And early in my life, that was very, very confusing to me. I really didn't understand it. And then when I did, I was like, oh, Mom! You know, that huffy way as I was walking out the door, embarrassed.
But you never asked her, how do you know this, Mom?
All right. Be like cheese and not a banana.
Huh?
Age, don't rot. Okay. Isn't that deep?
That's a stretch.
That's deep. Notice she didn't say wine. She said cheese. I would have liked it as a kid if she said, be like wine, not a banana. If it hurts, stop doing it.
Yeah.
That's kind of like your mantra, too.
That's kind of like, you know, but what was the, Chet Atkins, don't pick it, it'll never heal.
You can't fix stupid.
Yeah.
That was one of her favorite. You can't fix stupid. Good manners never go out of style. Good manners never go out of style. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Did I hear that through my entire life? Don't you look at me in that tone of voice. And I guess there is a look that is could kill. Nothing good happens after midnight. Even when we were doing the all-night show regularly, she still maintained that nothing good happens after midnight.
But that's kind of how we're...
I'm kidding. She never said that. Only when I was a kid, so that I would come in at a reasonable time. I'm not kidding you. I spent a good hour this morning.
I see your list.
It was cathartic for me to go through these things. I'll give you something to cry about.
Oh, yeah.
Who hasn't heard that one, right? I'll give you something to cry about.
Well, let me give you, again, I'll flip over to my dad for a second.
Yeah.
I'll warn you once. I'll remind you once. But I'm not going to give you a third time because you
won't see it coming.
You won't see it coming, but you're going to feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ouch. Yeah. But at least you got warned.
Yeah.
And you got warned a second time.
Yeah.
And probably the second time he was looking at you with that tone of voice, right? So my grandmother could scare the daylights out of anyone, especially a child. If you hang off the side of the bed, the chair, or the monkey bars, your liver will turn upside down. Your liver will flip. She would look at you with a straight face and say, hey, that's science. I can't help it. That's science.
My mother would just give us one warning. My brother and I just give us one warning, and that was it. And if we didn't listen... consequences for us.
So you didn't get three times, right?
Oh, no. My mother did not know. Once was all she gave us.
Did she have just the two boys?
Yeah, just me and my brother, yeah.
Yeah. Well, she had her hands full.
Yeah.
I mean, she had you, Gabe. Come on.
It must be a Hispanic thing.
You too?
Yes, exactly.
Julian?
Oh, yeah.
Did you look at your mother with that tone of voice? Ever?
I can't say I've ever heard that, but I never did.
You never did, yes. Okay, another of my grandmothers. You know, a whistling woman and a crowing hen never come to a good end. Now, how am I supposed to understand that as a child? A whistling woman. Of course, she did not believe a woman should whistle or smoke a cigarette on the street. She was very, very old school in that respect. She was very big on that bump on your tongue means that you've told a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie bump.
You know, you get a little tiny bump on your tongue, and she'd say, oh, well, you know, if you tell me what you lied about, it will go away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Never wash your clothes on a Sunday or New Year's Day because you will wash someone out of your family. And acting like that, you're just ugly. And she didn't mean like your face was ugly. Your behavior was ugly, right? I hope. I hope that's what she meant. So those are just a few of them from my part of Tennessee.
And I know I mentioned my grandmother and my dad a couple things, but because I don't know that I got any particular mommisms from my mom. Long story short, my mom and dad were divorced. And if you want to find out more about that, go buy a copy of my brother Lee's book, Safe Inside, and you'll get a little bit of insight about that. But one of the things that I took from my mom, because we were far from rich growing up. Mm-hmm. My dad worked at the steel mill on the south side of Chicago. One of the strongest things that I took from my mom was make the best of the situation you're in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a small example. When I was a kid, I started loving puppets. Well, my mom got this big box, and she made it into a puppet theater. Then she took a little rubber ball, and she drew eyes and a nose and a mouth on it, and she attached it to this piece of cloth, and that was the first puppet I ever had.
That's pretty cool.
And I mean, she was just brilliant at just...
Well, didn't Kukla look just like that, too? She was Kukla before there was a Kukla.
Yeah. So my point is that's, while I don't remember any particular momisms, what I took from my mom is you can make the best out of whatever situation you're in. But we're going to take a break, but when we get back, we want to share something with you that is, it's really a classic.
Oh, actually, let's save that.
You want to save that?
Yeah, I want to save it for later because we got to do our shout-outs.
See, we plan the show out so carefully.
We've got every minute planned. We got to do our shout-outs, and we've got a whole bunch of people waiting in the wings that we're going to talk to tonight.
Okay, coming up a little later, a particular Mother's Day classic.
Yes, that you will want to be here for. And if you're not here, you know,
we mark you absent.
We will. So stay with us here on WGN.
Johnny Puppet of WGN Radio. By golly, I think that means it's time for some shout-outs.
Yes, it is that time. There is a solar storm going on, and some folks are saying that it is affecting their radio reception. They're getting as...
No, that's just us.
Well, actually, they're getting as better than they usually do, which is a good thing.
Cool.
Because I was concerned that it might be just the opposite, that it might... Well, I guess that would be...
I guess it depends on the area and how the solar flares are making the signal react.
I think it's all a guess. I really do. When we go off the air, we'll know that it might have indeed affected us.
But speaking of the solar storm,
yes.
Even as we speak and as you're doing the shouts,
yes.
I am posting Julian's video on the Steve and Johnny Facebook page.
Now, this is his time-lapse video of the Northern Lights last night in Woodstock, Illinois. All right, so Bobby D is tuned in from Sammage tonight. Don is in Kalamazoo. Stacy's in Algonquin. Celine Ellers is in Chicago. Irene Farkas is in northern Wisconsin, and she says that she thinks that the solar storm is affecting her reception tonight. Butternut Bonnie is watching the Northern Lights even as she listens to us this evening. She's in Wisconsin. Dean is in Indy. George Clements is in Augusta, Georgia, and Georgia saw the lights last night this far south. Bob and Chris are in... Arlington Heights, Judy B., James Gajewski is listening in tonight, Bonnie and George, Pat is in River Grove, Sharon Hanrahan is in Romeoville, Tracy Douglas in Savannah, Mary Ellen Vance in Shelbyville, Tennessee, Dana's in Oak Park, Carol Summers in South Florida, Carol Roberts is in Crawfordsville, Indiana, Valerie Bear is tuned in, so is Sherry in Morris, and let me go over here to this source, because those of you who signed in on our Facebook page, I want to say Linda Moeller is listening at Oklahoma Panhandle. Thank you, Linda. She says, the Oklahoma Panhandle, she says, I'm looking forward to another Steve and Johnny, Johnny and Steve Festival from the Florida Panhandle. Beverly Goodall is tuned in. Bonnie Nelson, Tom Kasmerick is in Highland Park. Just got back last week from Floral City in Citrus County, Florida. Also, Dr. Kryptosis is at the drive-in up on Highway 18. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Fred Husar is in Lyons, Illinois. And Fred, Patrick will be joining us at midnight tonight. Donna Youngheim is tuned in from Oaklawn, listening on her AM radio. Ed Wales is in Moose Country up in the Upper Peninsula, the UP of Michigan. That's Ed Wales. And Diane Vasquez, she's our graphics gremlin. She is a genius when it comes to putting together fun graphics for us each week. Jonas Gregola. Hey, Jonas, thank you for tuning in tonight. He's in Brookfield. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan, USA. Margo Moore is in Albuquerque. Kevin Rausch and David Kaufman is in Myrna, Illinois. Ted Parge is in Spring, Texas. Rita Ragey is in Fort Worth, Texas. Carrie Johnson is in Palm Coast, Florida. See, I think this solar storm is helping us get out to a few more states, because we typically have about 12 to 14 states tuned in, and I think we're past that now. Scott Cooper is in Champaign, Illinois, where his son graduated from the U of I today, and congratulations. Lester Clyden is our trucking buddy. He's tuned in. Robin Aiken. Susan Schemmels in Glen Allen. Peter Jacobowitz is in Citrus County, Florida. Nancy Taffy is in West Allis. Patricia Human is looking for the Northern Lights tonight. Christine Failing is in Plainfield. Bonnie Pearson in Grays Lake. Jean Jacobson's in Milwaukee. Norb Rosansky is in Aurora. Helen Thomas is in K-Town. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Nancy Witts in Milwaukee. Chuck Snitchler, our good buddy, is listening to us in Hobart, Indiana. Eric Baum is in Wells Beach, Maine, and he sent this gorgeous picture of the Northern Lights last night in Wells Beach.
That is a great picture.
Right from his neighborhood. Jim Smith is listening on his transistor. Brian Lefevre, whew, thank goodness we're being heard in Bridgeport tonight. Priscilla Gilbert Stegg is in Joliet. Jeffrey Welshunts is in Elkins, West Virginia. Judy B. is in Oak Lawn. And I think I got everybody. Sherry is in Morris. I think I got everybody that signed in either at 312-981-7200 or on our Facebook page. And if you are not following us on our Facebook page, you really should, because we keep you up to date on everything that's going on this show.
I just posted the video, so if you want to see the video that our producer Julian did of the Northern Lights, the time-lapse video, it is really, really cool. So it's up on the Steve and Johnny Show page on Facebook.
And Julian, a listener wants to know, what camera did you in fact use for that video? Julian?
We'll never know.
Okay. I used a Panasonic Lumix G9.
Oh, a Lumix G9. We love the Lumix cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dick is in Sperma, Georgia. He just checked in. And we have a couple of people that checked in and say, I feel your pain. I, too, was an only child. See? It's a very special world that we lived in.
Hey, Julian, I have a technical question for you.
Fire away.
When you're doing a time-lapse video like that, do you have to set, is there a way where you set the time, like you want to take a picture every so many seconds, or how does that work?
That's exactly it, yeah. So what I can do is I can set it to take a certain number of photos every maybe 5 seconds or so. So the way I set it was I would take one photo every 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I had it set to take 360 photos, so that's how I got that 8-second time lapse.
Wow. 360 photos?
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That is.
And then afterwards, you just tell the camera to automatically edit it or put it all together, or is there something you have to do?
The great thing about my camera, and that's why I love this camera, it does it immediately after it. Once it's done with the time lapse, it'll say create video now, and I'll say yes, and it'll say, do you want to do 4K, 1080, 24 frames, 60 frames, wow, whatever. It works.
So you're not using a program, a software program, or anything?
The program is in the camera, itself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's all preset, but I could take the photos themselves and take it into like a Adobe software and do it from there.
And you could lift out pictures then, too, from your video, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, because it takes the photos as is, and then it just converts them to the video, but they're all still there, all 360.
What I love about your video is that it's just so smooth. It's just like we're sitting there on a rooftop somewhere watching that happen.
So again, for people who are just joining us, you went up to Woodstock late last night, and you found what you thought was a good place and just kind of pulled over to the side and hoped that no cops would come over or that you wouldn't be in a Stephen King book and just did the time-lapse video.
Yeah, it was terrifyingly dark. But once my eyes acclimated and I saw everything, I thought, oh my goodness, this is perfect.
So you saw the Super Bowl in the sky. We were sleeping. A listener from an 847 area code sent us a picture that was taken from an airplane last night, and I'm going to try to lift that picture off of the text.
Yeah, that is a great picture.
Julian, have you seen this? 847-910 sent us this, and he said that his friend had a window seat, and she heard everyone on the plane was talking about what they were seeing, and she looked out the window, and she was amazed.
Wow.
Because she got this eerie, it looks like something out of a superhero movie.
Yeah, this is really cool. I like the flares from the plane's light.
Yeah, very neat. So send your pictures. I'll try to lift that out, because he said, this is Wally from Pinehurst, North Carolina. And it looks like she might have been on a Southwest Airlines plane. Anyway, you can see the tail end of it. It looks very, very cool. You can get to us throughout the night at 312-981-7200. Coming up, we're going to give you the latest news on the scams that are out there. And there seems like there's a new scam every day. We'll take a quick break and come right back on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, taking care of business and working overtime. And he is Steve Burness. He is the president and chief executive officer of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois.
And we've got so many things to talk about with Steve. How are you tonight, Steve Burness?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
We could not let a weekend go by without looking back at the very first National Scam Survivor Day. That was this past Thursday, right?
It was. It was our first one ever for National Scam Survivor Day. I think it's really a new online resource from the Better Business Bureau, really aiming to help people who have been impacted by scams. We talk about scams all the time, as you know, Steve and Johnny, and there's so many out there. But there are so many victims out there. So we now provide a toolkit to help them, because sometimes it's not only, financial loss, it's also the mental well-being as well as recovering from this trauma, because some people are victimized pretty severely and lose their life savings, and some people, unfortunately, have taken their lives after they've been scammed. So we really try to help those who've been scammed. So if you have been scammed, you go to our website, and it has a scam survival a toolkit available to them.
So does this help you get connected to resources that can help you emotionally as well as financially to just kind of get your life back in order?
A little bit, yes. It has that both, to restore their financial and mental and emotional well-being in some way. It's really guiding some resources, guiding them what to do next and what steps they should take to stop any further, impact in any way by these particular scams, because they go on for a long time. When somebody steals your Social Security number, they can use it against you. Not today, not tomorrow. They can do it 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You never know when they're going to use it. So you got to be proactive sometimes. So we kind of help the victims that we rarely talk about. We always tell people they've been scammed, but they are victims and they needed some help as well. And Governor Pritzker proclaimed it May 9th as Scam Survivor Day in Illinois. So we're so thankful for that as well.
It's a shame. It's an unfortunate reality of life in 2024 that you need a scam survival toolkit. Where did you get the idea, other than realizing that these things are happening at a more increasing rate? And how did you decide what to put into this toolkit?
Well, that's a great question. A lot of consumers, when they've been victimized, and some come to us before they become a victim as well, but they kept asking us, what do we do next? And, all of our warnings were trying to prevent people from being scammed, but we didn't have the help necessary. So we kind of went through all these scams and our scam tracker, which is international in scope. You know, it covers Canada as well. And we looked at all the scams and trying to see what the most common ones were, and working with other, partnering with other organizations throughout North America in providing this this particular website that helps, you know, the people that have been victimized in some way.
Did you find that the majority of victims fall in that category of seniors?
Not necessarily. There's so many different variations of scams now, Johnny, that it's really sometimes, you know, one is more susceptible to the elderly and some are more to the youth. So there's not really one demographic anymore like it used to be. It used to be all elderly, you know. Now it's because of the internet. It's a wild, wild west out there still, yeah. And there's just the amount of victims. And we shared a couple of stories as well, but AT&T had a data breach, you know, last month. That was 72 million accounts.
Yeah.
72 million. Seven million on current customers and 65 million previous customers. So if you've been an AT&T customer, you may want to do your research on what they're helping those consumers with, because they are providing a credit monitoring service, which we strongly suggest you do.
So let me hold you on that, because we happen to be one of those millions of people that got an email from AT&T and said, oh, you know, 4 years ago we had this breach, and my first thought was 4 years, and in fact that's what the email said. But we're concerned that some of our customers have been compromised and that your data may be out there, so we're offering this service. So if I decide that I want to take advantage of this free 1 year, we're going to monitor all of your accounts, what do I have to do to be proactive? Do I have to look at some, like go to a website on a daily basis, a weekly basis? How do I stay up on this?
Well, the key is you could do a lot of the research yourself, and we suggest consumers get their credit report quite often, sometimes once a month. It doesn't hurt to do that now, because they used to charge you for it, and you can only do it once a year for free. Now it's you can get it any time you want because of the massive data breaches. So that website is annualcreditreport.com, and on there has all the information on trying to help you on those situations. But allegedly what happened with the AT&T one, they did take Social Security number and passcodes and passwords and PIN numbers as well. And a lot of people use the same passwords and account number names on all their accounts. So they kind of, like, the scammer will surf then the internet and start using those passwords and your usernames, and hopefully they can get on another website. So yeah. I think your Social Security number protecting is the most important thing, and we advise, the Better Business Bureau advises all consumers, not just those who've been victimized by identity theft, is to freeze your credit report. And I think consumers kind of get scared when they hear that, and there's some fear to that. And there should be no fear. The only thing you can't do is open up a new account. But you can unfreeze it and have it done. So what you have to do is call them up or go online and unfreeze it to open the account, and then refreeze it when you open the account. And basically, what it does is allows, like, no creditor can open up an account in your name, new one. And that's a good way of preventing not a complete 100% safe net, but it's a good way of preventing identity theft. And that's probably the best thing you can do right now.
And that does not reflect poorly on you if you're, say, trying to buy a car, or you're talking to the bank about some kind of loan, and if they see that your credit has been frozen. That's not a bad thing?
If anything, I would think it would make them be more assured that you're trying to pay attention to this.
Exactly. You're more assured, and a lot of consumers don't know about the credit freeze, and it's a lot of information on the Better Business Bureau website, the FTC website, and then the website at annualcreditreport.com, which is a site that is sanctioned by the government to go on there and freeze your credit and get your credit reports as well. And parents, please, your children's identities can be stolen. I don't think a lot of parents don't realize that. It doesn't matter if they're underage. It can happen, so I suggest at least get it once a year for your children.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve Burness is our guest. Steve is kind enough to join us on a regular basis to talk about this crazy world of scams. He's the president and chief executive officer of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois. And we've got links to their page. And I know every time we have Steve on, we talk about how we need to be doing these things. And that's why I know it may sound like a broken record, but there's news almost every day about new scams out there.
Steve, can I get you to walk us through this? Because we've heard from a number of people, we've had a bunch of texts from people saying they're at your website. They don't find anything listed as the scam survival toolkit. So when you're at the website, where do you go? What do you look for?
On the website, under the search bar, you can put in a scam survivor toolkit, and it will pop up on it. Unless we're having a little bit of difficulty, I'll check on it real shortly.
That's under Better Business Bureau, and then under Find?
Yeah, under Find. BBB.org is our main website, or chicago.bbb.org, and then you can go under the search bar for that toolkit.
Okay. And we're walking through that because obviously our listeners are doing the same thing.
Sure.
And there's so much information at your website, too, because right there on the opening page, we see Scam Survivor Day launching the toolkit with Amazon.
You can go under that. Yeah, that's the one.
Go in that story, too, yeah.
Yeah.
And I see, too, that you've teamed up with Amazon and Capital One to make this happen.
Yes, they're very interested in helping their customers as well, and sure. They were very generous in their donation to the Better Business Bureau Network to provide this this toolkit and necessary to help others.
I sent you a text the other, I guess it was on Thursday, and I said, look, yet another one. And you wrote back, and you said, every day.
It's nonstop.
This is just like, it's amazing. Because a year ago, yes, we talked about scams, but now it seems like it's to the point where they're almost not making news because it's happening so often, you know? It's like we're overwhelmed by it. There's one that I found really interesting, the tollway scam. What happens if you get scammed by, is it that they claim that you didn't pay your tolls and now you've got to give up important information?
Yeah, and they want payment right away because you didn't pay for your tolls. So it's not only happening, not in Illinois, but all over the country. Our Business Bureau scam tracker is seeing those types of scams. And basically, you're just getting that you missed a toll or you got to update your account. And it looks like authentic. It's coming from a governmental agency, and it's not. If you look a little closely at it, you can see the URL shoots to a different website. But sometimes people on a phone, you can't hover over the link, so you're just clicking on the link. So as I say so many times, Steve and Johnny, is please don't click on those links. It's getting to a point that there's so many scams out there. It's safest bet is to go to the governmental agency's website directly, or the company that emailed you directly. Don't follow their links. Go to your own Google search and find those, and then do your research, because you can't tell sometimes. I mean, in the old days, it used to be the bad grammar and things of that nature. Now you can't tell the difference. They do a very good job with AI technology. It's just amazing.
Okay, Steve, I'm going to ask you to go back to how do we get there, because, and I'm going to show Johnny my laptop. Now,
sure.
I'm at the Better Business Bureau. I've done a search for the Scam Survival Toolkit.
And it says, we're sorry we found no results.
But then you go to our main page, is right under featured content. It's the first one under featured content.
So if you go to bbb.org.
Right. Correct.
Right.
And there's a featured context section right there. It's number one. There says BB Marks Scam Survivor Day.
Okay. Steve is doing it even as we speak. I've got to say, too, that we always hear about people concerned they're getting emails from, quote, PayPal. And I tell you, not a day goes by that I don't get an email claiming that my purchase through PayPal is going to go through. And if I've had second thoughts about this $895 purchase, I should contact them right away. And that's a scam, folks. Even if you have a PayPal account, do not click on those things, right, Steve?
Exactly. Exactly. I just mentioned, don't click on it. Even a lot of people are getting them that don't have PayPal, and they say, I don't have PayPal,
yes,
or those other sites. They're throwing it to everybody. They throw everything at the wall and sees what sticks, and the people that do have it, they get scared. It's like, oh, no, I don't want to spend $800 on this TV or things of that nature. So they got to reverse the charge. So we need your credit card number to reverse the charge, and that's the tip-off to rip-off.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So Amazon and Capital One have teamed up with the Better Business Bureau. I hope that Facebook comes around to monitoring these fake businesses on Facebook, because this is really, really concerning, because you get these legitimate looking ads that pop up and you go, wow, this looks really good and what a great price. And you click through and you don't realize you're buying from a fake company that all they want is your credit card number.
It's a big problem, not only on Facebook, but all those websites as well, is because the scammers know how to infiltrate those websites. There's no website that's 100% safe, and that's where a lot of our number one online complaints come from, is those fake websites. I mean, it's all over every industry. There's fake websites. I mean, if you're to proms, weddings. It doesn't matter. There's fake websites out there, companies in China that give you this inferior products. And the trouble is that we did a study, and 65% of the consumers that filed a scam alert that month had no intention of buying the product that day. 65%.
Wow.
You're right, Johnny. They saw the flashy ad, too good to pass up. But it's a scammer. You know what I mean? And people, see it, and it looks authentic, and they don't do the research today. There's so many sites out there, not only the Better Business Bureau, there's other sites that you can check these companies out. Make sure they verify them. People do all the work after they've been scammed. They only realize they've been scammed. If they would have done it before, they wouldn't have been scammed. And that's my biggest frustration in my 36-year career, is hearing from people who lose their money and then they do all the research. You're right. It is a scam website. You do it ahead of time. Call the BBB. Go to Scam Tracker. Report the scams if you see them. Be proactive instead of reactive.
And as we've talked before, never, ever, ever rush into something. Most of the scammers are going to try to put you in a situation where you're stressed, you feel you have to react right now. No. Do not.
Exactly. It's like a 30-minute rule. If they want to do something in 30 minutes, that pressure that, you got to sign now, your electricity is going to be turned off,
yeah,
or you're going to jail because you didn't pay your taxes. The only thing you should do in 30 minutes is buy a pizza, and that's it. The scammer wants to put that pressure on you and fear in you to do something quickly.
So you mentioned weddings and you mentioned proms, and we're at that time of the year. Real quick, I understand there's also lawn and garden scams out there. How do they scam you from that area?
Well, you got to be careful. Some of those are door-to-door. And I'm not saying there's bad companies that come door-to-door, but you still got to do the research on them. You never let them in your house. You never sign a contract. But some you just met, because you got to get two or three bids anyway. So some people let them into their house. They sign up on these long-term contracts where you don't know what you're signing up for, and then it's a recurring contract. You can't get out of it next year until you cancel in time. And there's just some bad businesses out there and some scammers, and we're seeing a lot of door-to-door, which usually happens this time of the year. But make sure you're dealing with a reputable company, because we, like any other industry, there's fake companies out there, and they can help you, and you can buy plants from them, and
yeah,
they're just a fraudulent website, and they have no intent to deliver. They just take your credit card and charge it and run.
Well, I got to tell you, too, do not be shy about calling your city hall. We had a door-to-door person that was trying to sell us on solar, and I thought, the guy didn't even have any kind of uniform. He just had a clipboard, and he wanted to come in and talk about how he was going to turn our house into this great money-making, money-saving solar home. And I just called City Hall, and I said, and they said, we have no idea who this person is. I said, well, they didn't get in our house, but I'm going to tell you, they're going up and down the street. And so they sent out a police officer to talk to them and find out who they were and why they were in the neighborhood. So
yeah, it's
again,
important.
Yeah,
right?
Don't be shy about it. You've got to do your homework, and that's why we have Steve on the show on a regular basis. And as always, Steve, thank you so much. I want to remind people, annualcreditreport.com, bbb.org, and when you go there, you can click through for the toolkit.
And right now, I'm posting on the Steve and Johnny Facebook page a direct link to the Scam Survival Toolkit. So for those of you that were having problems finding it, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you'll find a link right there.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Thank you so much for your time, as always. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
More coming up. We're going to play the blues. So stay with us at WGN Radio.
These old days, baby, you're going to wish you had a man like me. I can't make you love me.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Nothing happened before. You didn't hear anything. All you heard was just the cool music by 90-year-old Bobby Rush, who was one of the winners at the Blues Foundation Music Awards.
He was a big winner, and we are so thrilled for him because he was a wonderful guest that we had in studio a couple of months ago. And attending the Blues Foundation Awards down in Memphis, Tennessee,
is a woman who wears many, 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 many hats.
Yes, yes, yes. She is actively involved in the broadcast media. She's a journalist, and she's the founder and curator of womenoftheblues.com. It is really her mission to get out the word about the blues, and she is the one and only Lynn Orman. Lynn, how are you doing tonight?
I am living the life I love and loving the life I live.
All right.
Here
you go, girl.
Memphis.
Are you still in Memphis?
I'm still in Memphis. Actually, I kind of made a little I decided to stay here one more night. I was going to go to Clarksville today, which is my usual venture. Everybody goes from the Blues Awards down to the Crossroads, where there's a lot more music. You know, Morgan Freeman has his Ground Zero club down there and the Delta Blues Museum. And then there's a big Pine Top Perkins anniversary celebration with every artist you could even imagine that's playing on over there. Yeah, so it's great. I mean, you know, it truly is like a groundswell of richness, and you can just feel it from your toes all the way up to your head.
When word came down that Bobby had won, and he won the B.B. King Award along with the Soul Blues Award, we were just tickled because when we had him in studio, you could tell that he is in a really good place in his life, and this new CD was just, he was really excited about it. And it's just wonderful when there's that kind of appreciation. So you saw him actually win the award, and what? Then he got out of town and then came right back again? What? Tell us that story.
Well, he was in town for the Blues Hall of Fame inductions, and you know, it was, I think he's got a double ganger. I mean, there has to be multiple Bobby Rushes because he's everywhere. I mean, he really is like Where's Waldo. He left on Wednesday, after the Wednesday evening, the Blues Hall of Fame inductions, he went to Westbury in New York to, somebody's knocking on my door. Okay, he went to New York to open for Buddy Guy.
Oh, and then he came back to Memphis.
Yes. But he wasn't there for the awards on Thursday evening.
Oh.
And I think, because he's texted us about this, isn't he still working on a new album?
Oh my gosh, always. Always. He's not going to stop, right?
And as we said when we saw him and we sat across from him in the studio, we should all be so fortunate to have the kind of energy he has. And as he said, I had one beer in my life. That's the only alcohol I've ever had.
Yeah.
So take that for what it's worth. I'm here at 90 years old and living the best life.
And didn't he say that he remembers every song he's ever recorded?
Yes.
And he's recorded how many thousands of songs?
Yes.
He's amazing.
All right.
I really believe he's sort of he's a savant because it amazes me just how much he can remember, how much he can talk about how much he can preach about. he really is. He's a great mentor and a great advocate for this music, for the blues.
Okay, Linda, we're going to ask if you can hold on for a second. You can answer your door. We're going to take a break, then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about what happened at the Blues Foundation Awards down in Memphis. Thank you very much. So stay with us at WGN.
Just get your back into it.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Ain't nothing to it. Just get your back into it. That's the Nick Moss Band. We had Nick in the studio with us for an album release party when that album came out.
Yep. And it was a big night for him down in Memphis for the Blues Awards, because in the category of Band of the Year, and it was a very, very competitive category, Larkin Poe, Selwyn Birchwood Band, the Tedeschi Trucks Band, Southern Avenue, and the Nick Moss Band, and Nick Moss and his band won Band of the Year. Lynn Orman is with us on the line. Lynn was down there for the awards, living her best life, having her a good old time, right, Lynn?
Absolutely. In Chicago, boy, did we take the gold home. It was really exciting. Really exciting.
Was Nick surprised? Because he was up against some pretty heavy competition, and I'm so glad that, that Nick and his band won.
Absolutely. You know, it was kind of, it's kind of funny, you know, when you watch the award shows and they announce the winner and then they're up performing next. Well, that's what happened with Nick and his band, because they played right after they won. Yeah, very surprised. You know, I mean, he this is what he's done all his life.
Yeah.
He and his wife, actually, it's, you know, Kate Moss, not the model, but the great guitar player, plays with Miley Tillman a lot. But Nick was there and played with Dennis Gruling, who is a master harp player.
Who's been on his past couple albums, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were, they tore it up. And that is an alligator release, put your back into it, and it's so much fun. So I was really thrilled for that. And can I tell you a couple of other Chicagoans that won?
Sure.
Okay, well, John Primer won for Best Album of the Year, Soul Album, and that was for traditional blues album, Teardrops from Magic Slim, Live at Roses. And he also won for Traditional Blues Male Artist of the Year. He won for that. He was really surprised with that award. So, you know, this has been an amazing year for him, getting nominated for a Grammy. And, of course, you had Bobby Rush. And was Bobby in before he won the Grammy or after?
It was before he won the Grammy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That's right.
And,
that's,
you know, we talk about Bobby's history. John has paid his dues. It's about dang time he gets recognized with this wonderful music that he's putting out. And hopefully it's going to work out, because he's got a number of gigs planned in the Chicago area through the summer. We're going to get him in the studio to visit with us some night, some Saturday night for sure.
And another friend of ours who was a winner, not a Chicagoan, but what a talent, Sue Foley.
Yeah.
I was so glad to see Sue take home some goodies.
Yeah, just had her on a couple of weeks ago with her new album. Gosh, it's just tickled to see that she won. Other Chicagoans you want to mention?
Yeah, let me just say Sue Foley is a master. I just saw her for my first time, believe it or not, at Space in Evanston.
Mm-hmm. And, isn't she wonderful? And I love the fact that she does electric and she does acoustic and she does it all wonderfully.
Yeah, she actually did a tribute to Charo.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, one of her influences.
In fact, she told us that Charo was one of the reasons she picked up the acoustic guitar in the first place.
And we're talking about the Coochie Coochie Charo, that one.
Yeah. And for your listeners that don't know, John Primer was the last guitarist and the band leader for Muddy Waters.
That's right, Yeah,
and then 92-year-old Bob Strozier, who has been in Chicago, I don't know, for decades, from Mississippi, but he won Best Instrumental Bass Player and one of the up-and-coming, but the son of Willie Big Eye Smith, Kenny Smith. He won for Best Instrumental Drums, and he was up against a lot of heavyweights. He was up against Tom Hambridge, who is Buddy Guy's drummer, and Tony Bronigal, and just an amazing, amazing amount of talent in that category. But so Kenny, he's so humble. He's from Evanston, just incredible musician. And let's see, Chicagoans, I can mention that the Blues Hall of Fame honored Lurie Bell, the son of Kerry Bell, which was wonderful. And then also, probably, I'm sure, Steve, one of your favorites, Lil Ed in the Blues Imperial.
Yeah. Lil Ed is wonderful. I will never forget the story that Bruce Iglauer told us about when Lil Ed and the Blues Imperials auditioned for Alligator Records. They're in the studio. They're doing the audition, and they're performing as if it's a show. They thought that was how they were supposed to do their audition, rather than just standing there and playing their songs. So they literally, he's doing splits. They did a whole show in the studio, and they recorded some of that live.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Actually, I think, and Bruce gave the intro for Lil Ed at the Blues Hall of Fame inductions, and that's what he said. He said, "We thought we were going in to record two songs, and they ended up doing 30 or something like that."
That's great. Well, I know that this has been just a wonderful few days for you. Anyone who follows you on Facebook,
and you should follow.
Yeah. I've got to say, when you landed in Memphis, you hit the ground running, didn't you? Because there were so many things to do and so much that you wanted to squeeze in over the next few days.
By the way, I'm going to tell an out-of-school, behind-the-scenes moment. But before I do, I will ask Lynn. Lynn, do you know what day today is? Because last night, about this time, we get this call from Lynn.
And she was breathless, and she says, "I'm tired, but I'm in a quiet place. I'm in the back of a car." And I said, "Okay, good." And we talked a little bit, and she said, "So when are we going on?" I go, "Lynn, that's tomorrow night." She goes,
and she said, "This isn't Saturday."
What?
you don't know. You rescued me. I mean, I was really so. Today is Saturday. And I am leaving tomorrow morning.
Well, it's only Saturday for another hour, Lynn. So.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I know it's been a fun few days for you. You look forward to this every year. And this was on the heels of your wonderful Women of the Blues show that you had up in Evanston. And is that still available for the public to see?
Thank you. I am constantly looking for new places to be able to curate this collection. I now have 130 photos of artists. And you can imagine being here now in Memphis with the amount of talent that's here, that I have people coming up to me, women, unbelievable blues singers and guitarists that are saying, "We really want to be in your show. You know, when can we get our photos to you?" And the photographers. So, you know, it's expanding. It's gone from 60 photos to now 130.
Wow.
Cool.
20 photographers from around the country. And I have to say, I'm most proud of all of the photos that I have. I call it the legacy wall. Mm-hmm. And it is the wall that features the daughters, the goddaughters, the granddaughters, and the nieces of the legends. And it's a tribute to Coco Taylor.
Yeah, that's really cool. It really is. Lynn, as always, it's a pleasure to catch up with you. And I'm glad we got you to sit down for 10 minutes so you could rest and come back home tomorrow. And we'll catch up with you again sometime real soon.
I have to tell you, I walked into the Blue City Cafe because I was going to see Bobby Blue Bland's son, Rod Bland. Mm-hmm. And I just said, "You know what? I can't. I need some. It's Saturday. I need some downtime and a little bit of space." to be able to talk to Steve and Johnny. So I am in a peaceful place, and thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about what happened in Memphis.
All right.
Stay in Memphis, though, because I'm just going to spread it all over the world.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks so much, Lynn.
Take care, hon.
We'll talk again soon.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Lynn Orman, and she's down in Memphis at the Blues Hall of Fame Awards down there. And so cool that so many of our friends took home some trophies.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Sue Foley.
Yeah.
Because when we're talking about people that are in their 90s, you like to think that there are those young people that are going to carry on doing blues, like Tedeschi Truck, like Larkin Poe, like Sue Foley. You know, God bless them. Big deal. Very big deal.
We've got a whole lot more coming up. We may, maybe later tonight, we'll share the news about an awards show that we're going to be involved in.
And we might even have some live music coming up next hour, because I understand there's a young man waiting at the door with a guitar in hand.
Really? I wonder who that young man could be.
So you guys stick around, because we're going to talk about sports collectibles. We're going to talk maybe some new music from our guest. And technology will be in the midnight hour tonight.
So stay with us. We'll be back on WGN.
Downtown walking, meaningful talking, cars slow rolling like a tiger stalking, lights real bright on a marquee hawking, one night only, the whole town's rocking. Me, I'd rather be at home tonight, home tonight. 'Cause I'm lit up like a Christmas tree. It's all your fault, discursively. Seeing only what you wanna see has become a near necessity. Believe me, I know too well when I'm right. And a stranglehold still being held, being felt, sorry for, still being felt. I could see you now, I'm sure there'd be sorrow in your eyes. But I'm on my way to a more inviting shore. I'm on my way to a great sunrise.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is on my short list of my all-time favorite songs.
I hate to talk over it, too.
I know. That is performed by the man who's been nice enough to come on in and hang out with us. Last time we saw Aaron Bearden was up in Chicago, and you came up for which of the Comic Fest was it you came up for?
Fan Expo Chicago, the old Wizard World show.
Yeah. And Aaron resides down here in the Panhandle. And he is the owner of Instant Replay Sports. We'll talk about that. You can go to the website, InstantReplaySportsCards.com, or you can go to Aaron's website, AaronBearden.com. And you've had a busy day. You just came from, what were you doing? You were verifying autographs, which I guess is a big thing for, not just for sports collectibles, but any kind of collectibles. If you have an autograph, you want to make sure that's the real autograph.
Absolutely. We had a store visit from JSA, which is James Spence Authentications. They are the biggest, most trusted, most reputable autograph authenticators in the world. So it's not just sports. It's historical things, presidential, actors, entertainment, all of that stuff. Authors.
And we've had a lot of presidential actors.
Unfortunately, yes.
You did 5 hours of autographing?
Yes. Well, I run the shop, but I work a little bit with JSA and do some consulting. They've trained me on a few things. And we had a very, very wonderful guy who comes in and does that. He's the guy who trains our authenticators. And it's usually a two-man job minimum. He was flying solo on this trip, so he just had me kind of help out and fill out some paperwork and answer questions for people. It's fascinating to get to see the process
and to see what
close.
People bring in.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're just wonderful pieces.
And I kind of want to spin off our guest in the about an hour ago. Mm-hmm. We were talking with Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau. We were talking about scams. And when it comes to autographs Are we seeing a lot of scams? Oh, pay me $4 billion for this
Abe Lincoln autograph
when he was first playing his Fender guitar. Are you seeing more of that too?
Absolutely. It's anytime there's a rise in the interest in collectibles, the frauds and the counterfeiters and the forgers and all that come out of the woodwork. And it's at every level. So we have people bring in pieces they bought that they thought were from reputable sources that don't turn out to be authentic. We had someone bring in a letter which they believed was really signed by a particular person, and it turns out they used a machine to sort of reprint the signature because this person had to answer a couple of hundred letters a day and just couldn't do it.
Was that a politician or a movie star?
Well, to be honest, not to disparage her, it's not nothing against her. It was Coretta Scott King. Mm-hmm. And it was a letter she had written responding to someone who had made a donation about 6 months after her husband had been killed. Okay. So I'm sure she had a lot of responsibilities and all of that, but they used a machine to basically to reproduce her signature. They didn't think they were cheating anybody. She was just writing a thank you letter for sending a donation and thinking of the family.
And isn't that one of the things that makes verifying signatures a little more difficult? Because sometimes if you get this signature from someone in the White House or someone in Hollywood, it's not that they're scamming you, it's that they're real busy and either their secretary or a machine is doing their signature, but it's actually sent from them.
Yes, absolutely. It happens a lot. Political figures, public figures, entertainers, even your athletes, a lot of times, you go back to the 50s and 60s, Mickey Mantle was notorious for it. They'd bring a baseball into the Yankees clubhouse and say, hey, you know, so-and-so business guy's kid wants a ball or whatever. And Mantle would just be like, dude, I don't want to do it. Here, get one of the bat boys to do it. And all the bat boys had to learn how to fake Mickey Mantle's signature. He was also notorious about, you know, he'd take off early and, you know, go out and hit the bar or whatever. He wasn't there when they brought the ball in, and they get 23 other guys to sign it, and then somebody would fake Mickey's signature.
Wow.
So a lot of team baseballs of the Yankees, the Mickey Mantle's no good.
How do you train to be like an investigator to determine what's real and what's not? I'm overwhelmed by that.
From what I can tell, it's almost a, it's like you can either see it, or it's almost like the 3D, the magic eye paintings. You see the sailboat or you don't see the sailboat. And when they, you know, when they first were teaching me, it was sort of, I got clued in on a couple of people's signature. And then once you figure out what you're looking for with handwriting, the dominoes start to fall. And you start picking up on how people form letters, and it's generational. And they'll say, you know, when certain guys went to school, this is how they taught you to make an S. So Stan Musial and Sandy Koufax and all guys of that era sort of were taught this style of handwriting. And then later on, you get into the 70s and 80s, and they were teaching a different way of doing cursive in schools. So you start to pick up on those little ticks and tells and
but cursive isn't even taught in school now. So what's that going to mean 25 years from now?
It's not even that far in the future. It's already a difficult process to authenticate modern athlete autographs because so many of those guys don't know how to write like that. So a lot of the current players, these young guys coming up, you're getting their signatures, and it's like just a squiggle or a check mark or... You know, there's one of them, and I forget who, he signs a first initial and then like a number after it. And that's just, that's all he got. So you don't have a lot to go on for a more elaborate signature where you have 15 different points you can compare and see what do they hit. Some of these guys, they give you a check mark, and it's like, well, anybody can do that.
Well, who was, I'm brain fade. There was some celebrity, I forget if it was a singer or a sports person, but basically they did an X, but it was their X.
And their X always looked the same?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
And whoever this was,
Because I don't even think my signature looks the same. Cause,
they'll change.
They do change.
So, like, my specialty really is Mickey Mantle. Because he's somebody you see all the time, there's great value in it, and there's so many fake Mantles out there. That's one to learn. That's a good one, you know, a good skill to have if you're going to be able to detect autograph fakes and all. Mickey Mantle's signature changed quite a bit. So I can usually look at a mantle and tell you within about a 2-year period of when he signed it.
Really? Mm. Did it look dramatically different as he got older, or was it just like phases of his life?
It was more like phases. Like for a while, he'd go, okay, now I'm going to do the A this way. And then really? Later on, it's like, yeah, well, now my E ends like this. And
wow. Yeah. I thought that was just me. You know, I dot my I with a heart. No, I do it with a daisy.
Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. So did a lot of people come out today with your autographs?
It was a great turnout. And like you say, getting to see so many neat things.
I had no idea.
A gentleman brought in a 1953 National League All-Star Team baseball, which has Jackie Robinson's signature on it.
Oh, boy.
And Roy Campanella.
Really?
Which are two that you just don't
see. What is the value of something like that?
I don't know. Because it's not something I see often enough that I have to track the value on it. It's weird how autographs work with that. When you have one guy who's worth $200 and a guy who's worth $100 and a guy who's worth $150, it's not the same as saying just add them up. There's sort of a diminishing return usually on multi-signed items unless there's a theme. If you can say this was the 1982 Cardinals team and it's got 25 guys on it, that's a little better than just saying, here's some guys I happen to get to sign at a game one day, and three from one team and four from another team, and mix and match.
Yeah. Wow. We're talking with Aaron Bearden. Aaron, do you mind if we continue with this? We'll take a quick break and come back, because I got another question about autographs. Aaron has a store here in town, Instant Replay Sports. And I'm always amazed at some of the things that end up walking through the door at Instant Replay Sports. Aaron is also a singer and songwriter, and we might even get him to break out the guitar. So stay with us here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And again, this is one of those songs that I could just let play and play and play. I absolutely love it. I love the tone of the guitar. Aaron Bearden is the man who is performing it. He's in the studio with us. And we're going to talk music at the moment. We're talking sports cards and other collectibles. But before we get back to all that, if anybody wants to get your album, which album is that from and where do they get it?
That is from A More Inviting Shore, which I think you can get on my website.
You can.
You know, that's one of those
we're
things.
We're here to help.
It's one of those things like when people ask you your phone number, and you're like, I don't know, I don't call me. So, you know. AaronBearden.com. Go there and check that out, and it's right there for you.
Okay. So. We were talking about autographs because you had this five-hour session today with, and a lot of people came out with autographs. Not all of them were sports autographs, right?
Correct.
And you did tell me off the air, I'm not telling tales out of school, but the Jackie Robinson was legit. Oh, my gosh. And do people come in with the autographs that they know that they've got something, and they just, do they get a piece of paper that documents it? It's real. How does that work?
Yeah, so the process.
It certifies it?
Yes, the process is basically when they're at an event, and they may be at a sports show or comic book show or something in your area.
I saw your ears perk up with the GT sports show coming up. You were like, I have to go to Chicago.
Yeah, you mentioned Imanaga from the Cubs, and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta check out my Cubs. I saw they had a bunch of walks today that were kind of weird.
So
you come in and you fill out some paperwork and you pay the authentication fee and you leave the item with them. And today it was about an hour turnaround time. People could come and pick their items back up. If it passed authentication, they got got a certificate right there on the spot. They have a tamper-proof sticker, which they affix to the item. It has a serial number that goes in their database, so if you were to trade or sell the item, somebody can look it up and verify that, hey, this is a baseball with all of these particular signatures on it or something like that. So you know you're getting the item that was submitted and authenticated.
Oh, that's very cool.
My pea-sized brain is trying to find a word. What is the word that it means if you bring this autograph, but along with Aaron's autograph, I have the picture of Aaron signing the autograph, and I have this.
The provenance?
Provenance. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. So how much does that add to the value of a thing?
As far as if they bring it in for authentication purposes, basically almost nothing.
Really?
Because anybody can go online. You can Google whoever, you know, athlete du jour of signing an autograph. Put in, you know, Jerry Rice signing autograph. And you can find a picture of him signing a bunch of different things. You print it out and bring it in and go, but here he is signing.
But if you have a picture of him with you signing that?
The downside of that is somebody meets a person like that. They get a picture of him signing their one item. Then they go home and they fake 20 more items.
Oh, boy.
Now, I've always heard that when you get an autograph, it's best that you not have it personalized. Is that true?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. As far as for value, for if you're ever trying to move that item, trade it, sell it, yes.
Yeah.
Unless you're trading it to somebody with the same name as you, you know, that kind of limits your market a little bit. I have very few that are personalized to me. Usually it's a case of I don't want to say something to the person, you know, if they're giving me something and I'm like, you know, I don't want to be picky about it and, you know, say, hey, look, don't put my name on it. I want to sell that on eBay later, you know?
All right.
Well, I will never forget. This was years ago. Johnny and I were at a record collector show.
Yes.
At this show, there was a guy who had a bunch of old WLS surveys with my picture on them from the mid-70s. And he said, could you sign them? And I said, okay, what's your name? He said, no, I don't need my name. And so I signed about five of them, and as we were walking away, we saw him raising the price on them just because I had signed it.
They went from $5 a survey to $15 a survey if you bought the signed one.
At least they went up.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
The ink was still wet. But wow. So if you are if you're at the airport and you run into that famous person, you probably just want to get them to sign something, not necessarily. And unless it's somebody you absolutely idolize, you probably would want it to be personalized to you.
And to be honest, if you run into someone in some of those situations, some of these people have multiple types of their signature that they do. So I know for a fact, I know there are a few people who will like only sign their initials in certain circumstances, and then certain things they'll do their full name or you know, whatever they're known for, known as, or something like that.
Wow.
But you can differentiate that way where and when it was signed.
A listener says, in congressional offices, the staff members signed the members of Congress's name, so the letters look like they're coming from that member of Congress, but it ain't them.
Right, and it's sort of, it works very similar to famous artists. So, I mean, I don't know enough about that, but I know there are people who can tell the way that Monet held his brush versus somebody who's a highly skilled you know, student of Monet that learned his techniques, but then go, yeah, but he didn't quite do it this way. It's the same with a lot of those people. They do it very, very close, but maybe their O kind of connects to itself in just a slightly different place or something like that.
I have to share this text from 312-981-7200. This is from a 773 area code. Great program, Steve and Johnny. Love the handwriting analysis. Handwriting was once considered the mark of an educated person. Aaron is quite a Renaissance man.
That he is. So. You can call worse, Aaron. Come on.
Oh, absolutely. Today, probably, you know. It really is. It is kind of a shame that we're losing it just in general. It's just a thing people know how to do.
Well, I'm thinking that if you have kids or grandkids, just as a little fun thing around the house, get them to sit at the kitchen table and let's sign our name and see what it looks like. And while we're at it, you may need to know how to write a check at some point in your life, because there are a whole lot of people who don't know how to write a check, which is really, really scary. And my mother worked in a bank for many years, and when the young woman walked in and said, "What do you mean I can't cash this check? I've got plenty of checks in my book." My mom said, "It doesn't mean you've got money in the bank because you've got paper checks. Please, child."
Well, so many kids now can't read cursive.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because, you know, there are a lot of famous documents and you know, famous texts, things that we're still finding that are written in cursive.
And like hieroglyphics for them, right?
Yeah. And at some point, we're going to get to that, you know, possibly down the road, where we unearth something that was written by somebody 200 or 300 years ago. And we go, hey, can anybody read cursive anymore?
Golly, how sad.
You know?
Aaron Bearden is our guest. We're going to take a break. So stay with us here on WGN.
WGN Radio. That's our in-studio guest, Aaron Bearden. And we're getting a bunch of texts. I have to ask you, though. I love the lyrics to that song in particular. The songs that you write, are most of them from personal experience? Or is it just you get an idea for a song title and you go with it? Or how does that work for you?
You know, I think it has to be a bit of both. That song in particular was really about the idea of being a musician or being in a band and somebody kind of misconstruing what you're about and what you're doing. And, you know, there was a story I heard, I think it was in the documentary Imagine with John Lennon, where this guy shows up and he's like, you've written all these songs about me. And Lennon's like, I don't know you. He said, I'm talking about me, or maybe I'm talking about Yoko, but I'm not talking about you. And, you know, there's a bit of that. And I knew a couple of people. I knew somebody in particular that was reading too much into, you know, certain people's songs that they really liked. And that was kind of in my head with that was, you know, it's not about you. So it was the idea of, you know, if you go back far enough, you were really into us. And the idea of that they had kind of fallen out of you know, following this artist or getting over that. You know, and the idea was, yeah, you've got to break away from that. You know, it's not healthy.
Those lines work on a number of levels.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, some of that subconsciously you write it, and then later on you think about what it means, and, you know, why did I write that at the time? What was I thinking about that I didn't realize I was thinking about?
Well, it's your idea of therapy, though, right?
In some regard.
Because we were talking off the air, with what you do at the store, really your music is how you chill, right?
Absolutely. And I still think of myself as primarily a musician who has a part-time job that just takes up way too much of my time now.
You know, yes.
When we started the store, I mean, it was something I did like one or two days a week, and now it's a 7-day-a-week thing that I really don't get a break from.
Wow.
So I'm always, you know, dealing with suppliers and distributors and manufacturers and things like that, and I rarely get that break. So I love to just work on a little bit of music, go out and play somewhere. You know?
All right. Couple questions about the store.
Okay.
Instant Replay Sports Store
cards.
In Panama. Sports cards. Cards. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because the listener said, where is the store? It's in Panama City.
Panama City, 752 West 23rd Street, Panama City, Florida.
Okay, another listener.
But I'm going to hold you on mm-hmm. that. If people who are listening to us around the country, if they want to go to your website, A, where do they go? B, do you service people around the country and around the world?
Absolutely.
My question, yes.
Yes, InstantReplaySportsCards.com. All is one word, no fancy weird things in there. And yes, we ship anywhere and everywhere, all the time.
Okay, listener at your website wants to know what the Hobby Rip Night is.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's a fun event we do. Last year, Topps, who is the big manufacturer of baseball cards and has been for a long time, did this event where you come to the hobby shop and you have basically fun with the hobby. Instead of just worrying about, you know, the big expensive thing you buy and you rip it and you try to find this expensive card, it was like, let's put a little bit of fun back into it and make it a family event. Oh. and all of that. So once a month, we just ran with it. Now Topps doesn't keep doing it. We're just doing it on our own. Mm-hmm. And people come in and we play games with cards. We do these, we call pack wars. Everybody buys one pack of the same kind of cards. We sell them real cheap, $2 or $3. And, you know, we call out. We say, hey, we're going to open this up and look on the back of your cards because they all have a number for the set they're in, like from 1 to 600 or whatever. We say, who's got the highest number card? Or who's got the tallest player? Who's got the youngest player? What? And we give out prizes, extra packs or, you know, T-shirts or whatever to whoever has it.
That's fun. So you're using your cards for other things.
Sure.
And the whole family can get involved.
Absolutely. You don't have to be a collector. You don't have to know anything about sports. Just flip the back over and, you know, I got a guy that's 6'9". Okay, well, you win. So we have whole families that come in. Because basically for the price of a couple of movie tickets, they can have an evening of fun doing this. We provide refreshments. We do drawings and giveaways. We play trivia games.
Wow.
So it's just a way to have fun with a hobby without having to spend a ton of money.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you still have, I know last time we talked, you had guys come in and they will, as a group, buy cards, right?
Yes. Yeah, they'll do the big group breaks. We had them doing that in the store today. They'll come in and kind of 6 or 8 of them go in on these boxes and all get a few teams or something like that, open them up and kind of see what they get.
And they know what they're looking for?
Absolutely.
Really?
Knowledgeable guys. They know who's in which products, who's not in certain products, because that's a big thing as well. Certain players don't sign with certain card companies. So
wow.
You're in there looking for C.J. Stroud, or you're looking for Corbin Carroll, or you know somebody like that. And it's like, oh, he's not in this box. Victor Wembanyama is not in this box, so we're not doing that one.
Wow.
I have an odd personal sports card question for you. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. White Sox fan. In spite of the way they are playing, although they apparently have just won 4 in a row, so that's a mm-hmm. season high. But my question is, with a team this bad, and it may be one of the worst teams ever in Major League Baseball, is it possible that baseball cards from members of this team in the future could skyrocket?
Because they're
so bad, but because I would assume they're going to be so few that are sold this year.
No, they'll produce as many of each team, you know, of each guy, because the cards are printed in sheets. So to make the set, they may have 300 cards in the set, and let's say they put 100 cards on each sheet. So they have to make the same amount of the guy on the, you know, the Yankees or the Rangers or whatever as they make of the guy on the last place team. But it's not going to be so much about where the team is, because I mean, Mike Trout's cards are incredibly valuable, and, you know, who was alive the last time the Angels went to the playoffs? You know, it's been a minute. It's more about the individual player accomplishments. Ted Williams never won a World Series. His cards are extremely valuable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's more about the player than where the team stands, although it certainly helps if the team
is
winning. Yeah, people feel like, you know, the guy gets a little more notice. Uh-huh. And that makes people want the card more. But honestly, if it's a good player, you know, the team's not going to matter as much.
Is there a lot of interest or demand for Ohtani?
Yeah, there has been since 2021, when he came back off of his, he had like a season-ending surgery around 2019, mm-hmm. something like that. So there's huge hype for Ohtani when he first came out, 2018. Then he got injured, and a lot of people were like, oh, nope, it was just hype. He can't do it. He's too frail. And they were dumping his cards. And I bought tons of them because I was like, no, I think it's legit. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to be good. I didn't know he was going to be this good. But yeah. I was like, I'll take the chance. Yeah. So I bought a lot of Ohtanis pretty cheap. But I had to wait a year or two. Because when he came back, there was still that thing of, yeah, but mm-hmm. it's going to happen again. And instead, what we've seen is, sure, he's had some ups and downs. He's had some injury issues. But on the field, when he's playing, you know, there's nobody more exciting yeah. to watch.
Yeah,
especially if he's batting and pitching. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he would be a good pitcher who might hit, you know, 10 or 15 home runs a year, and that alone would be amazing. Yeah. I didn't realize he would be a great pitcher who would hit 40 or 45 home runs a year.
Nobody does that.
We're talking with Aaron Bearden. And again, you can go to the website for those of you who say, well, I got to find out more about what they offer. InstantReplaySportsCards.com. Just as simple as that.
Or to Aaron's personal website, AaronBearden.com. And Aaron relaxes by making some wonderful music. And we gave him what? All of how long was that break?
We got
all of 3 minutes.
Move across the room.
One side of the studio to another side of the studio and get his guitar. And the guitar is a beautiful Epiphone. Which model is that?
It is an Epiphone Excellente, I believe. It's an American-made Epiphone.
That's a gorgeous guitar.
It is. I bought it. I bought it off somebody who's probably listening who should not have sold it.
I'm going to take a guess. Michael Lister.
Yes, actually.
I thought I saw him play that one time. It's a great guitar.
It is.
And do you need a little mic on his guitar? Okay. We're good? Okay. We're going to shut up. What do you want to do?
You know, let's do something new.
Okay.
Why not? I'm working on some stuff, so let's try it out. This is a song called Cursed Soldiers. Conscript, no prospect, with strategy of weaponizing love and sex, and locked in a conflict eternally from the caveman's spirit of World War III. I killed us both, I guess you heard. I gave you a look and a flattering word, and I saved for myself the sharpest sword, but I'd rather be remembered for what I adored. On the Western Front, we're wandering north, like Jason and his minions sallying forth, but ours is not to reason why, so soothe ourselves with a battle cry. Let all the cursed soldiers sing. This is our struggle, and it's worth everything. And if we go down in flame, then long live the king. Let all those cursed soldiers sing. You said love is a Pyrrhic victory, but a win is a win, it seems to me. They all count the same when the blood's been spilled and the bodies we left on the battlefield. Our better angels were all depraved, once more with feeling from the cradle to the grave. Sure, there was friendly fire at Chancellorsville. Do you want to buy yourself another Bunker's Hill? Doomed by cannon, down by law, we survived the South and the slaughter we saw. And just when we thought we'd laid down our lives, the trumpets blow and the cavalry arrives. Let all the cursed soldiers sing. This is our struggle and it's worth everything. And if we go down in flames, then long live the king. Let all the cursed soldiers sing. They go la da da, la na 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 na. When we stormed the bar, I thought I saw improvement, but on the dance floor, I felt your resistance movement. If saying I love you is guerrilla warfare, then it seems like surrender with your hands in the air. Nothing lost and nothing gained but the medals we wear to mark the campaign. A silver star and a broken heart, you know, to lose with dignity is a dying art. So we'll sign a treaty and march back home, because all roads lead from love to Rome. Settle our tab with the wages of sin. Let the wound scab overdo it all again. Let all the cursed soldiers sing. This is our struggle, and it's worth everything. If we go down in flame and long live the king, let all those cursed soldiers sing. Go na 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 na.
I love
wow.
that. Have you recorded that?
No, not really. I'm it's next
please,
on the list.
Please.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Wow.
What was the inspiration?
Yes.
Where did that come from?
You know, I don't know other than I like all of the like historical military imagery and all of that with it. So it was a lot of fun to play around with.
So that's your idea of playing around with words. I'm like, whoa,
wow.
I'm hanging on to every verse. That is, and the cool thing is, Aaron said at some point, do we have a music stand? I thought, well, that's interesting. Now I know why you kind of wanted a music stand, so that you could prop your lyrics up just in case.
Yeah, it's a lot. I love lyrics. I don't do the other stuff. I'm too lazy to like write really intricate music and then memorize it.
Wait a minute. That wasn't intricate? The hell? That's wonderful.
Wow, thank you.
And what's the name of that?
Cursed Soldiers.
Cursed Soldiers. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. What a treat.
We got what? Not quite 4 minutes. Anything else you want to do for 4 minutes?
Sure.
Or for 3 minutes and
3 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah. Really, really short.
Oh, my goodness. Aaron Bearden is our guest, and you can link to Aaron's site, and you can purchase his music, even though he's not aware of that, because, like he said, I don't call myself. So. And he's not only a guitarist, but you play bass, and you play drums, too, right?
I do, although there are those who would probably ask me to stop, but yeah, they're fun.
And you've been playing guitar since you were like 10 years old.
Playing at it, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Don't you love it when somebody talks to you while you're trying to tune your guitar?
And we're doing an audible. We got about 3 minutes before the news.
All right, here we go.
I'll shut up.
As we fade in on our story, pick up on the action and medias res. Boy meets girl sounds kind of boring, but the girl in question, she got a rather famous face. Boy, did you ever think you'd be here? You know, your head spinning round like a phonograph. You know, there's no better souvenir than the memory of her smile just before you made her laugh. You ought to be in pictures, not talking about the movie or the primetime TV. You ought to be in pictures. Those pictures ought to be with me. We take so much of life for granted. We always seem stunned by the inevitable burden. You take a look around this planet. You know, sometimes it seems like pain is the only thing that's certain. All the rest is our own doing. All the wonder and the magic and the joie de vivre. And in her absent-minded wooing, she got more tricks than Copperfield hidden up her sweater sleeve. You ought to be in pictures, talking about the movie or the giant screen TV. I mean, you ought to be in pictures. Pictures ought to be with me. She good as gold, she dear in choice. She scribble numbers on a serviette. Almost everything sounds better in her voice. The way she say husband, it sound more like regret. Cheer up, kid, it's not your first month at heart. She still wanna know what you're up to tonight. Time and tide ain't gonna wait for you to do your part. We can fade out here with faith, knowing she'll be right. You ought to be in pictures, not talking about the movies or the ones on TV. I mean, you ought to be in pictures. Pictures ought to be with me.
Wonderful.
And that's another new one from Aaron Bearden. And your timing is exactly right.
You know, I love your music, but you're getting better and better and better. That is so good. If you put those on an album, let's do an album release party on the air.
Absolutely. And a nice compliment, a listener said, he reminds me of Steve Goodman.
Yes.
Very nice.
That's a compliment.
Yes. And we're getting text, deep lyrics. Wow, those lyrics. Thank you, Aaron. As always, it's a pleasure spending time with you.
Thank you. Love being here.
And that's you should go to AaronBearden.com or to Instant Replay SportsCards.com, and hopefully you'll come back and hang out with us sometime soon.
Anytime.
All righty. Thank you, Aaron. We're going to take a break here on WGN.
It's a fine grind, clearing out my cash line, speeding up my RAM time, coordinated light lines. If you need to move, I recommend computers. They can make you groove like I bet you never knew. Did you? Oh, the complication when I feel your air control my body heat. I wanna feel it. Must ignore your touch. I feel yo. Gotta know what you did, what you doing. I love what you do to me.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam on WGN Radio. Hello. Oh, I'm still in the cave.
That's kind of cool.
Okay, I'm now out of the cave.
See, that never happens on my microphone. It always happens on yours. You get the fun.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. Someday when I get my radio show, I'll do my microphone like that too.
We're going to segue to computer stuff, and joining us now, Patrick Crispin, the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. And, Patrick, there are so many things we need to talk to you about, but we need to start with a text question that it takes precedence over all the computer stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. What is the latest on the production of the Lego Concorde?
The Lego Concorde is absolutely, completely, 100% done. My 8-year-old son, Joseph, has finished building a Lego model that had, I'm not making this up, 2,083 pieces. And these were 2,083 pieces where I had to say, okay, now take this one Lego and put it right here. Now take this Lego, put this here 2,083 times.
I got to tell you, I'm very impressed at how quickly you guys put that together.
Because it only took you, I want to say, about 2 weeks or something?
Not even.
That
right?
was about a week. That was about a week.
Okay.
Yeah, and my favorite picture is the picture of the boy just grinning with that ginormous plane sitting on the dining room table, and he's that is one proud child.
Now, is it still sitting on the dining room table, or is it going to be suspended from Joseph's bedroom ceiling?
We actually went into his bedroom, cleared off where it's sort of his toy chest, and it's now on top of his toy chest in a place of honor in his bedroom, and he goes to bed every night staring at it.
Isn't it like 2 feet long?
3.5.
What?
And a half feet long.
I'm surprised that they're not.
So basically half of me long.
If you really want to have fun, you should watch there are videos about this on YouTube. And just do, Lego Concorde and watch it. This thing is, it's hysterical. You can sort of twist not the tail, but a piece that comes off the tail, and have the landing gears come up and down. The nose goes up and down, so you have the droop snoop on this.
And
you can actually remove the central part of it, and in the center part there are seats and there are two toilets.
Excuse me?
I'm not kidding you.
That's great. Well, would you mind, and you don't have to decide on the air, you can tell me via text, if we could take that picture of the proud child.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sitting there with the Concorde, because that's the greatest picture. And, you know, when he gets married, we'll be sure to put that in the video that will be played at the wedding, okay?
Well, father-son bonding.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Well, you should be mighty proud of yourself, because I was tickled when you guys were done. I just couldn't believe that you'd done it that quickly. Wow. So listeners wanted to know on the production, so it's all done. That's behind you. What's the next big thing that you're going to tackle? Have you found something new?
No, and thankfully, no, because and I say that because we're actually at Disneyland right now. We drove down to Disneyland and decided to get a hotel room for the night so that Joseph could see the fireworks and everything. So Christine and Joseph went to do the fireworks, you know, so I could be on the show. Uh-huh. And before we came back to the hotel room tonight, we stopped by the Lego store, and Joseph was pointing out a couple Lego sets that he was looking at. One of them was the Millennium Falcon, which I think was like $800 or $900 and had like 8,000 pieces. And then there was the Lego Eiffel Tower, which is 10 or 11,000 pieces. And it's about as tall as I am. And it's just like, we have no place for this.
That's great. Well, you know, as his Gigi, I'd like to say I'd get him that, but you would hate me forever because you don't have any place for the Eiffel Tower.
We do not have a place for a Lego Eiffel Tower.
Man, I can't even imagine that. We were in a bookstore here in town the other day, and they had a whole corner of everything you'd ever want to know about Legos. I was blown away by this stuff that you could get. I guess, you know, I'm exposed to it through the things that you guys have shown me, but when I was standing there, I was like, oh, my gosh, and the prices are crazy.
They are not cheap. Joseph doesn't know this, and he's actually here right now, but he's got his earphones on, so he's not hearing me. But in storage, I actually bought years ago for him a Lego Saturn V, and he also has a Lego architecture set. So those are sitting there waiting for him as he gets a little older.
Very nice. Okay, well, the number one dad is on the radio with us at Disney, no less.
Wait a minute, now he's listening. He wants to know where the Legos are.
We're going to take a break and let you explain to him that this was just radio. You were just telling these tales for the benefit of the audience. Our guest, of course.
And during the break, I'm posting that picture.
Okay, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with Patrick Crispin. We got some tech news to talk about here on WGN, so stay with us.
Steve King and Johnny Putman. That is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, Steve, please.
That's Beck and Computer Rock.
You just play that to aggravate me. I know you do.
Would I do that?
Last week
Would
it
I
was
ever do that?
Bubbles the Porpoise, and this week it's the...
Has anybody here seen Bubbles? B-U-B-B-L-E-S.
I sang that
anybody
for
here seen
three
Bubbles?
Days.
Hey, Squawky, have you seen Bubbles?
3 days that was going through my head.
We are talking computers with Patrick Crispin, and he is the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. By the way, just before we get back to, we really are going to talk computers. If you go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, you will see the picture of Joseph and the finished Lego Concorde.
It covers
That's
the
a big
table.
Yes. Lego plane. Good grief.
And the listeners,
3.5 feet?
Listener said the boy needs a 747. I think he means literally a 747, not even a Lego 747. Okay. some cyber news we want to talk about. There's something that's going to happen on Monday, right, Patrick?
Yeah, Reuters reported that OpenAI, the folks who are behind ChatGPT, were going to hold a press conference on Monday announcing a new search engine. And everybody was going crazy saying, finally, because we know that Google search just doesn't work anymore. It's just so many ads and it's just garbage. It turns out Reuters got the story wrong.
Really?
OpenAI is not going to be announcing a new search engine on Monday. We don't know exactly what they're going to be doing. It's not GPT-5, which is the next version of the GPT that runs ChatGPT. And it's not a search engine, but it's a secret third thing. And Sam Altman, who's the CEO of OpenAI, said that, quote, it feels like magic.
What?
The thinking is, here's where it gets really exciting. The thinking is that what they're going to announce tomorrow is what's called a voice-in, voice-out agent, which is, that just rolls off the tongue, but let me explain what that means. If you played around with Siri or Alexa or even Google Home and tried to use it, chances are you walked away from this really disappointed. You talked with your agent that's running on your computer or your phone and asked it to do something, and Siri says, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. Mm-hmm. Or you ask it something it should know it to be able to do, and it just can't do it. After spending the day at Disney, I used Siri and said, okay, how many steps have I taken today? And it says, I'm sorry, I can't help you with this. And it's like, why can't you help me with this? Mm-hmm. You have that data. It's there. You've got an Apple Watch. I've got Siri's garbage. It just doesn't work. Imagine that you are able to talk to your device, your phone, and it's able to talk back to you and actually have it act like your assistant, an agent for you. You could ask it, say, well, you know, it's Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Can you take a look at my wife's Facebook posts and see if she's dropped any subtle hints of what she wants?
Oh.
She's in the background saying, Tiffany works.
That's subtle.
Or something like, you know, I'm interested in getting Steve King something unexpected for his birthday. Or you can sit there and say, hey, I want to get all my gang from high school together. Can you find a time when everybody's available? And it goes out and does it for
wow.
you. And maybe even recommends a restaurant for you and says, okay, here's... So that's really where we're started to head, is to this voice-in, voice-out agent. And that's what a lot of people think are going to be announced on Monday. This is going to be the week of those agents being announced, because just after OpenAI makes the announcement, the next day, Google is expected to have their I/O conference. They do this every year. And what we could see at Google, the I/O, is a new personal version of their digital assistant, which they're going to call, we think, Pixie. And this is expected to be able to talk, and you can use your camera to it and get information about the world around with you. And it truly is, you know, imagine Siri that works, or Alexa that actually works, or, you know, where you talk to your computer and your computer isn't just searching for you, it's creating answers for you. That's what I think is going to be announced coming up on Monday. It's an exciting time to be in the AI world, but we're still at the early stages.
Well, I don't know if you remember this, Patrick, but just a couple of weeks ago when we got our first MacBook Air,
yep.
And I was going through all kinds of things, and you said, the first thing you want to do is disable Siri. It's junk.
That's right.
And you said, even Joseph
garbage.
Says, it's junk.
It just doesn't work. The thing is, even Apple realizes that. So we're seeing, obviously, ChatGPT, OpenAI is going to come up with their own sort of agent. Google's coming up with one. Apple's not far behind. I would expect that later on this year, Apple is going to sign a deal, very likely with OpenAI, to replace Siri with whatever is going to be announced on Monday from ChatGPT and from OpenAI. I just think that Siri's dead. Nobody uses it, or it certainly is not very effective. I think we're going to see AI-powered personal assistants that are coming out, and this next week is going to be the week when it's going to be announced.
I'm a little freaked out about it. I'm sitting here thinking, do I want a personal assistant? Because I told Steve today, I got a note, an email from Samsung that said, oh, your phone qualifies. Mm-hmm. We're going to be giving you the opportunity to go with AI on your phone. Because if you get the brand new phone, it's already loaded on it. But they're saying that my phone would be capable of doing it. So I looked at it to see, well, what does it do? And it says, all you have to do is just draw a circle around whatever you're looking at. And then, boom, we'll tell you everything in the world about it. And I thought, I've lived this long without drawing circles on my phone. Why is this a good thing? But that's another form of AI, right?
It is. And I think what you're going to start seeing is more and more of the mobile phones, especially the next version of the iPhones and the next the Samsung phones, are going to have chips on them to be able to do a little more of that local stuff. Right now, when you're doing AI on your mobile devices, you're actually sending your information out to the cloud, and you're using lots of servers that are computing this information. We're now going to start seeing more AI chips that are embedded into your phones, your mobile devices, that are able to do some of those things locally. For example, you could sit there and say, hey, can you take a look at what's in my freezer and tell me what I can make for dinner?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Again, I'm like, really?
Of course, Patrick, I have to explain that Johnny is still freaking out over the new Fitbit that she got. It's not a Fitbit. This is the Samsung. And this actually, along with giving you all kinds of health information, when she wakes up, it tells her how much she's been snoring.
And ooh. It's told me all week I didn't snore, despite what you say. It said none whatsoever, and I believe
that's
this.
Because you have turned off the
the snore detector. I have not. Yeah. And by the way, for anybody who wants to know, for $60, this
was a steal. I
mean, yes,
this thing is actually, because I originally got Johnny a Fitbit. What was it, about 4 years ago?
Right, and then I went from the Fitbit 3 to the 5 to the 6. And I was frustrated with it not doing all the things I wanted to do. I had tried the Samsung watch,
right,
that would play really well with my phone, but I was afraid if I slept in it, I would have a black eye because it was so big. I could not believe it.
But
so
now
I took
this
it back.
One, how did you find this one? Because it's a very cool watch with a very nice big display.
It was released in February over in Europe and India. And
didn't you accidentally stumble on, oops, if you want it in the U.S., here's how you can get it?
They said, you know what, we've decided we're going to also release it, and this was on May 1st. They said, we're going to release it in the U.S. on the 3rd. And so I looked, and I thought, $59? What is there to lose? I cannot believe how brilliantly it plays along with the Samsung phone. It does everything I want it to do.
And it does everything that the original Fitbit did.
Oh, so much more. Yeah, GPS.
Yeah.
It gives me my messages, all the things that the Samsung watch that costs like $300 that would black out my eyes would do too, but this one is $59.
We need to explain that after the break.
We're going to take a break. If Patrick is with us, we're talking tech here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking computers with Patrick Crispin. Patrick is the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. And there's so much to go over this week. One of the things that I don't think made as many headlines as it should have, there's a Windows security update that breaks your virtual private networks. What's this all about?
Yeah, if you are doing what we've recommended for a long time, which is applying Windows updates, the April 2024 security update and also the April 2024 non-security preview update causes some virtual private networks to not work. So this is Windows 11 and Windows 10 and also Windows Server 2022, 2019, I think actually all the way back to 2008. Let me back up and kind of explain what's going on. A virtual private network is an encrypted connection that goes from your computer to your VPN provider. And when you use that connection, you are, in effect, connecting to their computer and then from their computer, their server, connecting to the rest of the world. The benefit is that because it's encrypted, you are absolutely secure from man-in-the-middle attacks. People can't watch what you're doing online. And if that server that you're connecting to is, say, in another country or in a place where, you know, it allows you to do some things, you can actually kind of pretend to be in another country or pretend to be in another location and do things that you would not normally be able to do. I could, if I wanted to, and I'm not going to, connect to a virtual private network to a computer in the United Kingdom, and it would think that I'm in the United Kingdom, and therefore I would be entitled to watch the BBC locally because it thinks I'm in the United Kingdom. I'm not. So it's a very helpful thing. The problem is that this patch kind of broke VPN on some Windows computers, and there's no workaround. The folks at Microsoft are trying to fix it, and they're trying to figure out how to fix it, but their recommendation really is uninstall the Windows updates until they come up with a new Windows update. There
are
some ways
around. That's not always easy to do.
And it's really hard to do. And requires some extra skill. The folks at Microsoft actually have some recommendations for you that if you are a home user, you can use the Windows Get Help app, and they'll kind of talk you through the process. So if you've got a personal or a family account and you need to uninstall this, really the only reason why you would want to do this is if you ever need to use VPN. I don't recommend VPN unless you have a very good reason to use it. If you're a business, businesses use it all the time just because they want to make sure that when you're connecting to the corporate network from home, no one is accidentally piggybacking on the network. Mm-hmm. In this case, then what you would need to do is you want to go out through the support for business portal that your company has access through Microsoft. This is a big problem. Hopefully Microsoft is going to fix this soon. But for right now, they want you to remove the Windows Update package if you can't get the VPN to work on your computer. And that's frustrating. That's kind of scary. And the other thing is, remember, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater because these Windows updates aren't just fixing VPN, or in this case, breaking VPN. Right. They're taking, or they're fixing a whole bunch of other vulnerabilities in your system. Mm-hmm. And back to the AI conversation, it's trivial for somebody to take a Microsoft security announcement saying, here are all the things we patched, plug that into AI and say, okay, here's what Microsoft patched. How do I attack that for the people who haven't applied the patch yet? And there are some bad actors out there who are taking the announcement that Microsoft has patched something and using it to write vulnerabilities.
Of course.
It's like, wow, what a world we live in.
Yeah, wow. So for the home user then, the person who religiously does their updates, forgive me for my ignorance here, but what would they see on their machine if they did this update, this bad update? Would their machine not work, or would they be notified?
I don't think they'd see anything, would they?
They wouldn't see anything unless you tried to connect to a virtual private network. And if you tried to connect to a virtual private network, it just wouldn't connect. Sit there and say, I can't work, or it's not it. And you would have no idea. Your internet service provider or your company would sit there and say, oh, this is the problem because you've got this bad patch.
Right.
For most people, it's not going to affect you. And so most, unless you know what a VPN is and you use it all the time, these bad Windows updates patches aren't actually bad Windows update patches. They're good Windows update patches. It's just your VPN isn't going to work. But you don't use a VPN, so who cares?
Okay,
if you use a VPN, this is bad.
Okay, under the theory of you ain't born knowing this stuff. So if you're, for example, different browsers offer VPN. Opera, for example, offers a VPN. If you are using Opera, and if you tell Opera, yes, turn on the VPN, that is not going to work now?
It depends. My guess is that is a different level of VPN than what they're talking about here with the Windows. This is sort of the system-level VPN that you would be running like Cisco or something else where it connects to a corporate server. What you might be doing with the browser is sort of a VPN light where it's saying, hey, you use this browser to connect to through this one port to go to the Opera website and then go from there. That should still work. I haven't seen a lot of Opera users saying this. It's really more in the corporate VPN where there is a separate VPN client running on your computer that you have to open up that you use then to connect to the remote site.
But let me hold you on this just for a second. So if Patrick and Johnny wanted to do private email and they decided, okay, let me use Opera's VPN and send email through that, would that be a viable VPN? Would their email then be secure if they're still using whatever it would be, Gmail or whatever, but they're using Opera VPN as the browser that they're connecting through, would that make those emails more secure?
It should continue to work. And the thing is, it's not the VPN has been encrypted or decrypted or somebody's found a hack to your VPN. It's just saying that you can't connect if you're trying to, in effect, use your computer to connect to a particular remote VPN and make a connection to that server. So Opera should still work because it's not the full sort of like 800-pound gorilla VPN that's connecting you from server to server and encrypting everything that goes off of your computer. It's just saying, hey, I'm just going to do the web connection.
So the bottom line is for the average listener who is sitting
at
their computer, if they heard this story and they do their updates all the time, they've got really nothing to worry about. This is for the home user. You don't have anything to worry about.
Right. It's unless you're a corporate user or you have a reason to connect to a VPN and you know what a VPN is and you pay for it and you do it just to protect yourself, then you would need to do this. You would need to uninstall these last couple updates.
And it probably wouldn't be so hard for you to uninstall it, because if you are of this level, you probably are going to get some help from somebody in your IT department. I mean, if this is that big of a deal. But for the average person,
but again, as Patrick said, you're also uninstalling some of the good stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
Gotcha. Right. We're going to take a quick break.
Hopefully Microsoft fixes this as quick.
Sit tight. We're going to come back after a quick break here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I can't tell you how much I love this song.
Oh, stop
this is,
it.
It's AC/DC in cyberspace. That is such a cool
Does
record.
Does he say cyberspace in that song?
Yeah.
I've got headphones
couldn't
on.
You, couldn't you?
No.
Wasn't it distinctive enough for you to understand?
Johnny Putman! It sounds like a cat with a rocking chair rocking over its tail. All right. There's a really there's a segment that we have to start doing on the show, Patrick, and that segment is
cybersecurity.
And specifically with the hospitals that are being compromised. Because we talked for the longest time about Lurie Children's Hospital. And then Ascension announced that there was a hack.
Just over the past couple days.
And then United Healthcare said that they were. And now United has admitted that they paid a ransom. They actually said that we paid because we wanted to take this information and keep you, our clients, our customers, safe. I wanted to take a few minutes tonight and talk, Patrick, about if you let's use United Healthcare as an example. If you are a customer of that insurance, United Healthcare, and I think Chicago Public Schools, the teachers union might be one of their mm-hmm. users, and you hear a story like this on the news, what should you do? I mean, do you start changing all of your passwords right then?
The thing is, it's not really, they haven't hacked your passwords, per se, unless it's your United Healthcare password, and you might want to change that.
Right.
But the reality is, they've got your health data, and you have to figure out what do they want to do with that. You should be mindful that you could start seeing some targeted emails to you saying, hey, you know, we know that you have elevated PSA or you have high blood pressure or whatever, and you could see people starting to sort of spearfish you, is what it's called, where they're going to send you information saying, oh, hey, and try to get more things from you with the little nuggets of information they stole right. from your health records. So just be kind of mindful that any new things that start coming your way in your email or your text, you need to say, wait a minute, why are they contacting me? Is this real?
For example, Johnny, what was the email I just sent to you? We got it within the past 24 hours, and it looked very legitimate, but there was something about it that didn't feel right to me, and I forwarded it to you, and the more we looked at it, we realized, no, this was a very sophisticated fishing expedition, and they wanted me to click on different things, and I said, no, not going to do that.
And it looked like it was coming from a health care facility, too, which concerns me.
So basically, as we talked earlier with Steve Burness of the Better Business Bureau, always pause. Never feel pressure. Never react quickly. Pause. Take a look. Think, is this likely to be real?
But you don't have to change all your passwords, because that was first question that I think people have. Does this mean that they're going to be able to get into my bank account, for example?
No.
Now, if they were to take your Social Security number from that information from the healthcare company, isn't it quite possible that they could greatly compromise
you? They could open new accounts. They could open up new loans. So in this case, what will very likely happen, as with all of these other hacks, is you could get free credit monitoring sent to you from United Healthcare saying, we're going to provide you from, Equifax tracking this. It's a smart idea to keep an eye on this just to make sure that these hackers haven't gone out and use that information. I will tell you, for most people, they're not attacking you. They're attacking United Healthcare because they know that United Healthcare is going to write them a big check with lots and lots of zeros in it to get their system back. So you aren't necessarily the target here. United Healthcare as a whole was the target.
And I don't know about you guys, but frankly, I was surprised at the fact that they paid a ransom was not bigger news.
Yeah.
I thought that was huge when I came across that. And then that prompted me to look up some numbers. 49% of the hospitals last year, 49% said that they had, quote, adequate coverage in managing risks to supply chain risk management. 49%, because they say we don't have the money to pay for people.
And I'm sorry, I have to jump in and say, you mean with the overcharging that most hospitals are doing, they don't have enough money to
To pay someone
for effective cybersecurity. What's wrong with that picture?
42% of healthcare organizations said that they have an incident response recovery and testing plan with suppliers and third-party providers. Now, that was just last year. 42% said they're prepared. And there were 755,743 job openings for cybersecurity professionals nationwide. That was just a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. 755,000. So if you're looking for something to do with your life, maybe that's what you should be getting
into. Boy, is cybersecurity the field.
Man, these numbers were just terrifying. And I wanted to bring that up because of the Ascension story and the United story. And the fact is, we were saying earlier with Steve Burness, because they've got this new scam...
Scam tracker
toolkit, so you can find out if you're being scammed or not. Use your gut too, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't feel right, you know, and slow down. That's one of the things that we keep saying over and over again before you click on links. Patrick, you've been saying that for 20 years. Slow down.
And Patrick, over the next 2 weeks before you join us again, let's put our heads together. And probably not a bad idea to start doing a regular cybersecurity segment.
Sure. And
if we end up repeating the same thing week after week, because we did that for years
if we get to the point that everybody listening says, I'm cybersecure, well, good. Okay.
That's right. Yes.
All right.
My goodness. Another big story in the few minutes that we have left here. The state of Illinois made some news because, speaking of big money, the governor is asking state legislators for $500 million for quantum technologies. Now, you may have come across this story and said, huh? $500 million for what? What's your take on this, Patrick?
Well, this is one of those things where you're not going to understand it. You're not supposed to understand it. This is really, really hard stuff. I'm going to make a fool of myself because even I know a little bit about this. I know nothing about this. We're getting to the point where the computer parts, the transistors, are getting to the size of an atom. And once it gets down to the size of an atom, weird stuff happens because you stop following the regular laws of physics and you start doing the quantum physics. What's cool about this is you can actually do some stuff at that small level, this sort of quantum level, that allows you to do some really powerful stuff. It's very expensive. It's very, very early stages of this. But we're talking about profoundly efficient, maybe, computers that could, because of the way quantum mechanics work, calculations that could technically, right now on the computers that we have today, could take years or centuries, could be done in minutes.
Wow.
It's going to be hyper-efficient. So we're talking weather forecasting at a scale that you could not possibly imagine, or new drugs that are created, or a new level of cryptography where right now we are using, 256-bit encryption. Those could technically be unencrypted pretty quickly using quantum computing. We're still a decade or two away from this, but there needs to be a lot of money spent on this, and the governor of Illinois is saying, I think this is the next big thing, and we're going to put some money into this to open up a new place for quantum research to be done. If this pays off, this is going to be big. You and I are not going to have quantum computers in our pockets, but it's going to be used by corporations, by companies. This is meant for big, big data.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to hear him sell this to the legislatures that he wants to get that $500 million from. Because my mind just about got blown with your explanation. I can't wait till the governor gets up there and tries to explain it. And maybe he's ready to do it. Maybe I've underestimated him. And I know we've got a lot of really smart people at the U of I and the University of Chicago, and I'm sure those people will be trotted out to explain it. So it's kind of cool, from what I'm understanding of it.
Well, on that note, Patrick, thank you. We'll do this again in 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks we'll spend a little time on cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. So thank you much, and give Joseph a hug from us.
I shall. Have a good night.
Okay. Good night.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. WGN Radio. I love that, Julian. What is that? That sounds vaguely familiar to me.
That is called Forget Regrets, and that is from the Diego Rodriguez Big Band out of Elmhurst University.
That's
cool. Oh my goodness, yeah.
It's actually a band that my brother features on as a trombonist.
You're kidding. Well, how cool is that?
Yeah, actually, I went to a show couple weeks ago, and they played this song, and I was just taking photos for them.
So they're local?
Who was the female vocalist?
I'm forgetting her
name. She's good.
Name.
She's wonderful.
And the blend of her and the trumpet are just wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one. Yeah, send me a link to that. That's some good. So we need to get them on.
Wow. Diego Rodrigo.
Diego Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Big band.
Okay. Big. Young guys?
Yeah, my brother is 23, so they're all around that age.
Stop. That's really, really good. I thought you were going to say that was somebody like Sade or somebody that's been around forever. She is fabulous, too.
Well done and well recorded.
Yeah.
Oh, and the singer, her name is Roya.
Roya. I feel like I know her.
I know. It sounds vaguely familiar to me.
Well, thank you for turning us on to that, Julian. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're in the last hour of the show. We got a lot of things to tie up here.
And this, by the way, is our last show for a few months from the Florida Gulf Coast.
Right.
We'll be back here the end of September.
Mm-hmm. Into October.
Yeah.
In fact, I have to believe it's going to be boring when we come back because this month has been crazy. Because we got here with Jazz Fest.
Yeah, there was Jazz Fest.
And then there was
Thunder Beach and the air show.
And the air show. And then today was Iron Man. And something like 18,000 athletes came to town for Iron Man.
And Iron Man is such a big deal. This was the Gulf Coast Iron Man 70.3. And they sent out, and I'm holding, maybe we should post a picture of this too.
Yeah.
They sent out brochures with the 2024 traffic impact.
Which is very smart. It really was.
Yep. And this is, not surprisingly, this comes right down, literally a block down from our house. So
the same place where the Jazz Fest was, right down the street from where...
Little did my dad know back in the early 70s when he picked out this little yellow house.
I'm in awe. I'm absolutely in awe of the Ironman athletes, men and women that come to town. They swam 1.2 miles, and no one was able... did either of you come across word if there is...
red flags, which there were. How the heck are they able to swim when...
If the water is dangerous.
Well, that's one of those things that, they have special permission and they have lifeguards there.
So if they get sucked in by a riptide.
Yeah, they have people watching them probably from the pier. and they've got folks out there with like jet skis to go rescue folks that are in trouble.
Because that was a big deal all week that we had a lot of red flag days.
And double red flags.
Double red flag days and man of war.
And by the way, just to those of you listening to us in Chicago who are planning on coming down to Panama City Beach to the beautiful Gulf Coast, red flag, double red flag, don't go in the water.
As simple as that, yeah. Yeah. Sadly, too many people go, well, it's water. I'm a good swimmer. I'm a strong swimmer. And there have just been, last year was a really, really bad year with people that died when they went in and they couldn't, they weren't strong enough. Or they went in to save a child and they ended up dead and the child was saved.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. So there was swimming, it was 1.2 miles swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come out of the water and you bike for 56.2 miles.
Yep.
Which I can't even comprehend. Six miles to me is impressive. 56.2 miles. And then when you finish your bike ride, when your legs are like rubber, then you have to run for 13.1 miles, which makes a total of the 70.3. That is just...
No to all of that. And I'm in favor of exercise, but no. The chances of my ever getting close to that are slim, none, and...
And the closest we've ever gotten to the athletes is when we go out to eat the night before, and they're in restaurants, and they're carbo-loading.
Boy, are they
carbo-loading. They're like, give me extra pasta.
We've been in Boondocks, which is one of our favorite local places.
Yes. And they're saying, give me extra grits. Yeah. I need the carbs for tomorrow. And I'm absolutely in awe.
Oh, by the way, can I hit the pause button for a quick second?
Sure.
To give a shout out to, again, to anybody from Chicago or around the country that's coming down here. We found a great restaurant this week.
We did.
And those of you who are longtime listeners know that I have to be kind of conscious of being gluten-free. A great place. It's the Egg.
The Broken Egg.
The Broken Egg in Panama City Beach.
Are you guys familiar with the Broken Egg?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. It's been around for, I guess, a while because I remember my folks talking about that's where they would go eat at the beach. We never went, and last week we had the guy on that founded the Find Me Gluten Free.
And that's how Johnny found this.
I went to the Find Me Gluten Free and I put in 32413, our zip code, and said, what can we find for breakfast? And it sent us there and it was amazing. You had pancakes.
Great pancakes.
And I had an omelet and people were just really, really wonderful to us. And it's a cheery little place. You can eat outside.
If you go ask for May, she was our...
She was delightful. Yes.
She was terrific.
They even had gluten-free bread. Toast that they brought out. So
again, for those of you who need to be gluten-free as I do, great place.
And a good example of how we use that website
that
we talked about last week, Find Me Gluten-Free. And that is good around the world. So if you're going to be traveling over to Europe, you can use that app and find out places that are safe for you to eat. And I still have to put up a review because as our guest said, when you go to these places, good or bad, you got to tell the rest of us so that we can either... go there or steer clear of it. We're going to take a quick break. We have so many loose ends to tie up this hour, so stay
so little
with it.
Time.
So little. Well, no, don't push it.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a chicken pot pie waiting for us at home. So.
Oh, yes.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back here on WGN. Another producer's choice, and is this
who and what is that, Julian?
That's from our good friends Duke Ellington and John Coltrane. I was in a sentimental mood.
It sounds like really good poetry jam music.
Yeah, that's true.
Notice how Julian has morphed into his smooth jazz persona.
I noticed. Okay. So this has been an exciting year. We had an eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the Northern Lights. And, in fact, we're getting texts from people and on Facebook saying that they were actually in Wisconsin and Maine And New York, they're seeing the Northern Lights tonight.
I think
tonight.
We may have to take that dark road home
the
to see if we
Stephen
get
King
the scary
route.
Stephen King road.
Okay. And we call it that because Stephen King's going to write like a scary book. It's going to be on that road that we're going to take home tonight. The other big event that we talked
about.
Wait a
minute. Can I pause for
sure.
a second?
Mm-hmm.
Quite often, and I think it has to do with this time of the night, mm-hmm. people are half awake.
Yeah.
A text poured in at 312-981-7200. Who is taking your place until September when you will be back on?
No. We're going to
We're going to be on next week. We will be back down in Florida in September.
It's the hour of the night.
Well, it'll be the Chicago version of Stephen John.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe we'll be taking our place next
yes.
week.
Yes.
Yeah, y'all got 2 or 3 months off.
Yeah. Okay, the other big story, and we've had people say, what? You're not going to talk about the cicadas? I am going to talk about the cicadas because the cicadas have emerged earlier than we thought they would, because a lot of predictions, even the expert we had on a couple weeks ago, said it's going to be the end of May or June. And
well, they wanted to emerge early because they knew we were heading back to Chicago, and they wanted to be there to welcome you.
I cannot wait, I said, with my fingers and toes crossed. Police departments are reporting that they're getting calls from people saying, what are those sirens I hear? And in fact, it's the cicadas.
Driving the big honking Ford Galaxy police cars.
I'm going to be okay with it. I am not going to call the police department. I am not going to complain. I'm going to be happy because this is something that has not happened in hundreds of years, and it won't happen again in my lifetime. This is nature. I should appreciate it.
I'm going to remind you of this next week.
I know. I'm trying really hard, Steve. The stories that are coming out of Missouri. Now, we don't have cicadas down here, so we're kind of all oblivious to it. But I know you guys have seen the pictures of the ground moving with these creatures. I mean, literally, the ground, the whole ground is moving, right? Wow. I'm going to be okay with it, though. I promise you.
I love that you're saying this like a mantra.
I am. I'm really working on this because I may be here until September. And Steve will be back in Chicago.
I'm hitting the pause button for a second. You know, when you say the ground moving?
Yes.
Reminds me of one of the scariest scenes in any movie that was filmed down here.
Yes.
Have you ever seen The Frogs with Ray Milland?
No.
Oh, you've got to see that.
It was filmed at the wonderful Colonial Mansion at Eden State Park.
And near the frogs.
Near the end of the movie, because Ray Milland is playing the part of this awful guy who doesn't like nature and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the movie, the last scene is you look out on the lawn. And the lawn is moving, and it's nothing
frogs.
But frogs
all
crawling toward the Eden.
Yes. Of course, I love frogs. I'd be okay with that.
Oh, okay.
I don't want the ground moving with them, though. Let me tell you, as an aside, truly terrifying that I saw with my own eyes in the Ozark Mountains. It was tarantula mating season. And we were driving down the road, and up ahead we see this big black shadow moving across the road.
How many people do you think are listening to us right now in bed and starting to scratch because they're getting itchy?
Wait. Those were tarantulas going from one side of the road to the other side of the road. Guess what we did? In that 77...
Florida.
Yeah, we did. That 77 Pontiac Bonneville. Boy.
Well, no. Okay. As long as we're sharing creepy stories.
Creepy crawly stories.
Years ago, working at WIND, downtown Chicago.
No, I don't like this one.
Engineer needed to make a bank deposit.
No, he
was going to be there. I was getting off and heading home. He said, well, the bank is just down here, blah, blah, blah,
oh,
blah,
no,
blah.
No.
I leave. I have to turn and go down an alley to get
cover
to the bank.
Cover your ears, kids. Cover your ears.
On either side of the alley were restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I pull into the alley, and all of a sudden, my headlights see the alley is moving with rats who were after the food from the restaurants. And again,
they're like the size of cats.
Again, like Johnny, I floored it. That was it. No discussion, no nothing. Just
Shortly after that, remember at Chicago Fest, they had like...
Don't we have fun stories?
Wait, remember they had a big rat dunking tank.
They did.
Yeah, you could come. And so they had this big rat cut out, and then celebrities would put their face through it, so they would be the rat. And you could come and throw stuff at them so that you could dunk them.
But back to cicadas.
So the crazy thing about the cicadas, yes, they're coming out in Illinois, and... In some states, like the Carolinas, the police have reported that people are calling saying, what's that crazy noise that I'm hearing? What's the sirens all about? In Missouri, they're reporting cicadas that are emerging without wings. Oh, my God.
Nicely done, Julian.
Or one eye. Can you imagine?
They probably should have baked a little longer.
Just a bunch of mutant cicadas is what I'm hearing.
Yes, and we talked about they could come out with a fungus, but science did not know that they science told us that they would emerge if they had a fungus.
Among us,
that their male parts would fall off and they'd be very angry about it. But these are their wings and their eyes. That is just crazy. And on that note, as a little thank you.
Yes, on that note, Becca.
As a thank you to you, Becca. Oh. Here's a little velvet bag.
With no eye or no wings.
No, it's got the eyes and wings.
Okay.
Thank you.
Explain what it is, Becca.
It's a necklace with a cicada on it. Not a real one, obviously.
I tried, but I couldn't get a real one.
I mean, that would have been cool. I'm not going to let you. But no, it's a metal one. It's a metal one with a bunch of really cool colors.
Well, look at the cute saying that comes with him.
Yes. It says, cicadas are a symbol, typo, of personal change, renewal, birth, transformation, and work on self-development. Whenever you need a little luck, keep it as a reminder that you are strong, beautiful, and have the power to make it happen. I am questioning their ability. I had to improvise some of this.
Because it was not.
There was a few typos. But we're going to ignore those. Thank you. This is really nice.
Listen, the cicada took like 17 years to write that. So, you know, it's trying.
And he lost his wings. Yeah. So he was one of the mutant cicadas.
Whoever thought that they would be considered like a good luck charm? I saw that and I said, you know, for a graduate, you need to wear a cicada. Because you don't have them here. I felt
we have a few.
Like, you don't have a trillion.
We don't have a trillion. Whatever
your ground is not moving.
They pop. Okay.
We have perennial.
That's right. You have periodic versus the brood. The brood awakening. Well, I've been dying to give her that all night. So,
cool. You just can't.
It looks good.
Yeah.
It does
look good.
It looks kind of. I may have to get me one of those. I posted a picture of Becca Stark, producer, wearing her, actually holding her cicada necklace, and then she got used to it, and during the news, she ran into the restroom to get herself fixed up wearing her cicada necklace. Yeah, I'm going to get me one of those.
So now we're going to have to take another picture. Speaking of unfinished business,
we
were talking about Mother's Day weekend.
Yes.
And we played a few classic Mother's Day songs, but there is one other Mother's Day performance.
Yes.
That is unique. It's wonderful.
And you have to listen carefully. So if you're half asleep, it's going to go over your head. So you turn up your radio. If your
this is all about momisms.
Yes, you will relate to this. There's no doubt about it. It's a live performance. It's by a woman who is very active on Facebook. She just hasn't done much since she did this a few years ago. So here is Anita.
And, Anita Renfro.
Anita Renfro, and this is her take on mom.
Get up out of bed, wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tough. Remember, the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3.
Choose lovely, but hurry. The bus is here. Be careful. Come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside. Don't play rough. Would you just play fair? Be polite. Make a friend. Don't forget to share. Work it out. Wait your turn. Never take a dare. Get along. Don't make me come down there. Clean your room. Fold your clothes. Put your stuff away. Make a bed. Do it now. Do we have all day? Were you born in a barn? Would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say? Don't sit so close, turn it down, no texting at the table. No more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod if you don't listen up. Where are you going in with whom and what time do you think you're coming home? Saying thank you, please, excuse me, makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait till you have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly. But right now, I'd thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew. We'd appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two, of the stuff you hate. Use your fork. Do not burp or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A. Get the door. Don't get smart with me. Get a grip. Get in here. I'll count to three. Get a job. Get a life. Get a PhD. Get a go. So I don't care who started. You're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? If I've said it once, I've said at least 1,000 times before that you're too old to act this way. It must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straighter when you walk a place. For everything and everything must be in place. Stop crying or I'll give you something real to cry about. Oh! Brush your teeth, wash your face, get your PJs on, get in bed, get a hug, say a prayer with mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again, because the moms are clever. You don't need the reason why. Because. I said so. I'm the mom.
That's Momisms to the William Tell Overture.
And you should see this woman performing this live without a cue card, without a note, without a teleprompter. It is amazing. She is a comedian out of Atlanta, and I guess she pops up on Good Morning America, and she does the comedy circuit. I even reached out to Jason Hedden here at Gulf Coast, mm-hmm. and he's become so incredibly active in bringing comedy to the Panama City
Maybe
area.
Maybe when we're back here in September, we could have her on.
Yeah. So I said, you know her? And he says, no, but I know people who do know her. He said, I'm going to have to find her. I got to look her up. And I said, well, start with this piece, her take on being a mom to the William Tell Overture. And I said, if you find her, tell her we're looking for her. So that just makes me laugh, because when you listen to all of the lyrics, you're like, yes.
It's so well done.
Yes, it really is. So Anita Renfro, if you want to look her up, Renfroe, her last name.
We are only moments away from our last call.
Yes.
And if you would like to be our last caller and win some, we got some really good prizes tonight.
We do.
If you want to be the last caller, you can start dialing three, that word is dialing. See, I run out of the good words at this point in the show.
Your tongue gets tangled.
My tongue gets tangled and my words get wixed. 312-981-7200 is the number if you want to give us a call, and you can be our last caller.
You don't
need any pithy comments.
Or other than just be able to sit up and hold a phone. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
You know? again, you have to follow the rules, and the rules are, if you've won something within the last 60 days, then you don't qualify for the prizes.
Right.
You could still be a last caller. You just don't qualify for the prizes. And we'd love to talk to you. You can be the cherry on top of our five-hour show. You can leave us wanting more. You can, make us cry all the way home?
Yeah.
It's up to you.
You can set the stage for our drive down a dark road.
I know.
Trying to see the northern lights.
I haven't seen.
Will we survive?
I haven't seen. Steve,
tune in next
stop!
Week to find out.
Next thing you're going to tell me that your tarantulas are crossing the road, too. No, actually, I'm okay with that. It's the rats. I do not want to see them. That's my idea.
I'm not really crazy about either one, so.
Okay. See, we would settle for cicadas, wouldn't we? If it's a choice of the three. I'm going cicadas first, tarantulas second, rats never. Simple as that. You don't get this kind of scintillating conversation everywhere.
You don't. Oops, the blue light's flicking. I see the blue light flicking.
Oh.
And I hear. Yep.
Whew. Yep.
I'm going to be happy to get back and see that machine. And try to kick it when I walk by.
Because Bob is driving it to clean up the WGN studios.
Yes, to get it ready
but
for
But it's amazing that the lights in this studio start flicking.
I know.
When he, the power that may, he is the keeper of the big plug.
Becca and Caleb got the memo from staff, and so they knew that they had to flick the lights when it gets to be that point. If you want to be our last caller, and some people said you got to figure out a way where those of us who are texting can be a last caller. I'm sorry, that's too complicated.
Yeah.
That's above my pay scale. Right?
So we're being mean and we're saying no.
That's right. No. Yeah. You have to make some effort. Like pick up a phone. I almost said and dial it. But then there's a whole generation that goes, what?
Dial a phone.
Well, if they're texting, why can't they call?
Stop it. Oh, that's right. Why can't you call?
Yeah.
You're right. Well, we have some shy people that said, well, how come I can't just talk to you via text and be your last caller?
Becca, have you ever had to dial a phone?
So short answers, no. Longer answers, I've had ones that are non-functional that do the dial, and I'll mess around with it like I would dial it.
What about a round dial where you put your finger in the hole?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Like either as a toy or just an old one that doesn't work. Or one that doesn't work.
It's a toy.
Okay.
We still have one in our house.
A dial phone in our kitchen down here.
We do, hanging on the wall with a really long cord.
Yeah.
So you can go sit on the couch and you can go to the kitchen and sit down.
Now, the question is, how often do you use it?
Actually, we've answered it several times over the past week. It doesn't lose battery power. And the cord is long enough, we can take it into the living room.
Well, we were kind of freaked out, though, last Saturday when the phone rang. And I said, do I? And you said, go ahead. Don't say anything. And whatever you do, don't say yes. So I picked up the phone. And it was the automated call from the Bay. Law enforcement telling us that the
Alert Bay. And that had to do with
The
storm.
Road was closed. Road was closed because of an accident. Backbeach Road.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, they're calling the house to tell us not to go out. That's
so we didn't
cool.
go out.
We didn't go out. Yeah. All right, we're going to hush up, and you guys call, and we will choose someone, and you will be that famous someone, and you will win prizes. So stay with us right here on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
Losing time. We're ready to
losing time.
Head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you do.
You really do.
But you can't stay here.
Bob decided to fade that down.
He was scared. He didn't want to get to the questionable lines of the song.
To the pertinent.
No.
Incendiary part of the song.
Yes. Okay. So the last caller actually is random because a bunch of people call in and then we're given a number. And we take a number. In fact, Miss Becca, Miss Cicada, I still have a hard time looking
Miss Cicada,
at it.
Miss Cicada, 2024 for Panama City. It's Becca Stark.
With a ginormous cicada hanging around her neck.
Yeah, sure.
Choose a number from 1 to 8.
I'm thinking.
Oh, she's thinking. Look, she's even rubbing her hands together. We only have a couple minutes, Becca.
Let's try three.
Okay. And line three is our last caller, and I am told that is Peggy, P-E-G-G-Y. Hey, Peggy.
Where are you calling from, Peggy?
Hi, how are you? Kinley Park.
All right, Peggy, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I don't know.
I'm getting a little giddy.
Can't get loopy yet this time of the
That's okay, because you know what? Management goes to bed at like 9.
Yeah, they don't know.
9:30.
And I'd never forget the conversation we had with the management years ago. They were ticked off over something that we did at 3 in the morning. So we're sitting there in the office and being reprimanded. And I said, okay, so I take it from now on, when there's a question, you want us to call you at home at 3 in the morning. She took a sip of her cup of coffee and said,
nah,
I don't think so. Just go ahead and do what
do you, what you do.
Right.
Use your own judgment.
Yep. Yeah.
So what is Peggy's Sunday going to be like? What do you got
it's
planned
be
for
quiet.
Today? Yeah?
No plans.
I think it's going to be chilly, too, isn't it? I think this could be like, but you've actually had some good weather. Somebody texted and said, get your butts back to Chicago. And I responded and I said, yes, I'm tired of 80 degree sunshine and the Gulf water that's 75 degrees and not having any cicadas. Do you have any cicadas in your neighborhood in Tinley?
No, not yet. But I'm waiting for them any day now.
Are you going to have a good attitude when they arrive?
Oh, yeah.
Are you? Trillions
of them? I remember years ago when they were out there I was walking around the Little Red Schoolhouse and you were just walking over them. They were crunching under your feet.
Yeah.
And just and they're flying at your head. This is what
that's good. I've got that to look for. No one has told me that they'll fly at my head. We were warned, though, that if you walk under a tree and you feel some dampness, that could be them urinating on you, so you want to be careful. Yes. And let me lay
Johnny did some copious research and determined that a cicada's stream is more powerful than an elephant's
stream. That's honest to God science, which just blows my mind that a cicada has that kind of strength.
As Spike always said, you don't get this kind of radio up and down the dial.
For good reason. Oh my golly. Are you going to have a snack tonight? Come on, Peggy, have a snack.
Snack? No, it's too late for a snack.
We're going to go home and have chicken pot pie.
Oh.
You talk about having something light before you go to bed. I don't even know why I made chicken pot pie, but it was so good.
It's delicious.
But I said, we've got to stop
eating. It's this wonderful new recipe that Johnny found.
I literally stopped us from eating anymore because I said we have to have dinner when we come home from the show.
So she ripped it out of my hand.
I pulled his plate away from him.
Yeah, boy.
Poor thing. And he's wasting away.
He just had to save the rest for Mother's Day.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've lost it.
No, that happened a long time ago.
Well, let me just quickly tell you that if you want a good recipe for or chicken papa. I'm your girl.
Yeah. That's why I dated her.
It's so good. I will let you.
I saw it written on a wall. If you want a really good recipe for chicken pot pie, look up Johnny Putman. So I did.
Peggy, thank you for laughing with me.
Peggy, your day can only get better.
Not much.
I just wanted to mention, I'm looking at two photographs of two postcards that I have here, autographed by both of you, back from 1983.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
When you worked at another radio station.
At WIND.
Yeah, WIND.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, WIND. And you were at Ford City Shopping Center.
Oh, yes, we were.
And that was before we got married. I used to listen to you every night, and so we had to get out there. We got out there.
That's so funny because we weren't married then. And
was that like a special Christmas thing that we did?
Do you remember, Peggy? Because I don't remember.
I don't remember what time of the year it was.
But I know if it was in 83, we weren't married, and that was one of the many promotions at the radio station. They kept throwing us together to do things, and finally we went, Uncle, we'll marry, okay?
Yeah.
Literally, it was the Christmas party. We said to the promotions department, "Go ahead, announce it."
I'd love to see a copy of those. I don't know if we have any of those pictures.
Oh,
if there's any way you could
take a picture of our picture,
or just scan it into your computer and shoot us a copy, we'd love to see that. And our email address is email us at steveandjohnny.com.
Okay.
And that's really the email address.
It's like, who's on first?
Yeah.
Because every time we give the email address, people go, no, really, how do I email you? That's how you email us. Well, Peggy, you've been delightful. Thank you for laughing with me, because nobody else would. We're going to send you, I'm so thrilled that you're going to get your very own WGN Radio logo t-shirt.
These are really cool.
Oh, the official t-shirt. Oh. And you're getting a desktop weather station from American Weathermakers Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. And it, as we like to say, it has become so collectible. It's like the Seymour Payson scarf and the Ladybug pendant watch. Everybody wants one, and you're going to get one.
Yeah.
Yes,
fantastic.
Thank you.
So if you can hold on for a couple seconds, and Julian will get some information from you off the air.
And have a great
We are
Sunday.
Rapidly running out of time, and we want to take a few seconds and thank the people that have made this possible for the past couple of weeks, who've been coming to you from the studios of WKGC-FM. High atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida. And we want to thank a bunch of people. Dr. Erica Goines, who is the Director of Broadcasting and Production here at WKGC.
She signs off on this, so she turns on the lights and says, sure, go on.
So blame her.
Yeah.
And then Melanie Boyd, who is the Division Chair and in charge of business and tech. And our terrific crew back in Chicago, and that would be Bob Fukuda and Gabe Salgado and Ron Brown and Julian. And
we never say Julian's last name. Julian Salderna. Right, Julian?
Close but no cigar.
See?
Okay, then forget it. No more last name for Julian.
And here in WKGC, Caleb Jordan and Becca and Tom Hoots. And kids, thank you so much. This has been fun.
I've had a good time.
Yeah, we'll see you in fall, I think. Yeah,
assuming they don't lock us out.
They listen to the last 15 minutes, and they might go, maybe not.
Yeah. So if all goes well, we're going to drive down that lonely, dark road.
Yes.
And,
we'll
see
pictures.
What happens. And hopefully we will talk to you next week on WGN.